Camelot.
Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Whoa, I jumped the gun on pushing the button there for a second. Did you hear that little skip in the King Shaziz the Terrible? Ah! So, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Welcome, everybody. And if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to shazizradio.com/superchat.html. And if you're on the Super Chat room and you want to go over and visit People for People Radio Network, you scroll down underneath those chat rooms, you'll see a People for People Radio link. Wonderful people over there. So go over and say hi to them. Tell them old Crazy Hair Shaziz sent you. Oh, King Shaziz the Terrible. So, we got a question here. Who is pushing America to civil war? There's been a lot of talk in the mainstream media going back to at least 2017, probably even prior to that. There's always been kind of talk of civil war, especially among the conspiracy world and all that kind of stuff. But something different about these days that I'm really starting to get a little bit concerned about, but at the same extent, if you listen to people out there, most folks don't believe there's a possibility of civil war, yet, and this is going to sound crazy, yet there was a poll taken that states that 1 out of 3 people believe that there is going to be within the next 5 to 15 years, probably sooner as far as we're concerned, Civil War here in the United States, which, you know, I have to tell everybody right out of the gate, you know, I'm not an advocate for Civil War by any means, because America's got too much to lose. The world's got too much to lose. As far as I'm concerned, America, for whatever's left of it, is probably the last beacon of freedom in the world. You know, not everybody has the luxuries of a constitution that gives them a First and Second Amendment, which are quite literally under attack, by the way. But when you listen to all the different commentators out there, mainstream media, and even government officials, and you know, how they take things out of context a lot, but nonetheless, you listen to these people talk. I posted some video links in the chat room. And first thing that I want to tell you about these particular video links is a few of the videos I thumbed down whenever I went on YouTube. I put the good old thumbs down. It looked like a majority of people did too as well, because of the way that they try to slant everything. But anyway, if you listen to these supposed celebrities, one of which was on The Five, you know, I'm not going to mention no names because I don't want people coming back trying to sue me for slander or whatever, but, you know, I'm just saying. They're kind of naive in their way of thinking that they're, you know, the possibility of a civil war is even out there. However, when you spend the majority of your time selecting different groups of people, whether they be you know, Trump supporters or, you know, white males, one of which said that if there was a second civil war or any kind of violence, it would be perpetrated by white males on both sides of you know, like the red and the blue, the liberals versus Democrats. And so you spend a lot of time calling everybody racist and homophobe and xenophobe and all these different phobes. You know, you spend a lot of time trying to point out that, you know, you got a president who's, you know, supposedly a criminal, a racist, and trying to stir up riots and all this kind of stuff. And there are people out there who will actually take that to heart and believe that that would probably be the case. Now, like I said, I am not by any means an advocate of a second civil war here in the United States. Some believe we're actually already in a what would be called a cold civil war, where, you know, you got a bunch of people fighting amongst each other in the general population over political ideology and different types of views, but it's not like an all-out civil war. To the extent where, you know, you got states against state, like the old, you know, First Civil War. And even to the extent of the way that the history was told about the First Civil War, majority of the people are under a misguided belief that the Civil War was about something that it was absolutely not about. But nonetheless, that's something that you'll have to research on your own, because if you get into talking about what the real Civil War was all about, well, then you get deemed to be a racist or whatever, you know. And I'm not going to play their games. I'm not going to allow these people to manipulate my words into trying to say something that I never was trying to communicate to the listeners of these radio networks. The thing about it is, I pray that we never, ever have a real second civil war here in the United States, because there will never be America like you ever seen, like America is today. And granted, we got problems that need to be resolved, and we have a history that is jaded in all kinds of different directions. A lot of people were done wrong in this whole entire process, but for what we do have, you know, if we're to hold on to this republic, not a democracy, Most folks don't even know their own government. They don't know that the United States is a representative republic, and they constantly call us a democracy. We're not a democracy. I'm sorry if you're under that illusion, but that there is a huge difference between a democracy and a republic. And that's another thing that you'll have to research into. But either way, I posted many video links over there in the Super Chat room, and you take them with a grain of salt because not all of which I agree with. It's just trying to bring a subject to the table that is worthy of listening to what people are saying about a potential civil war here in the United States. The thing about it is, in the first Civil War, very few people fought in the Civil War. I think there was like 650,000 people total that died in the first Civil War, which is a huge number. You know, even 1,000 people in a Civil War would be a bad thing. All right, I don't like death of any kind, but to take it to the next limit, the next level, so to speak, and I'm sorry, my brain's going in 10,000 different directions at one time, but to take it to the next level and have an understanding of what a second Civil War would actually look like here in the United States of America, it would be beyond terrible. The weaponry, the training of the citizens now, a lot of people have been in the military or police departments. More people these days have real combat training than they would have actually had back during the first Civil War, and we're talking about serious training, not like you would see back in the 1800s or something like that. We're talking about training where you're actually desensitized to actually taking a human life. You think about that for a second, and you think about our culture and the movies and the media in general, and all the ways that the violence is promoted and sometimes glorified. A second Civil War would be beyond brutal. It would be beyond horrifying. The amounts of types of ammunition and things that would be available that would be out there, having your brothers and states against states and people against people, the death toll would be unimaginable. Now, that's worst case scenario. And I hope that we never get to that. But you have to also understand that there are entities out there that want us to fight each other. They want us to be divided. They want to destabilize nations for an agenda that, you know, a lot of you have heard about if you've went down the rabbit holes. But the fact of the matter is that if they ever bring it to that point where you actually have to have militias and militaries and foreign troops and police officers and all these different government and, you know, non-government entities involved in a second Civil War, there's not going to be anything left of America, folks. I'm telling you right now, you mark my words. Don't ask me how I know, just mark my words. If it ever comes to pass that there's a second Civil War in the United States, there won't be nothing left. There will not be anything for some foreign nation to come in and seize. The people who believe that it's possible to survive this deal or have been planning for years and years are fooling themselves. This country, this beautiful land that we live on, will be completely and utterly destroyed beyond all recognition. It will become a wasteland. And, you know, you can go out and watch a whole bunch of Hollywood, flicks about it. Go watch the Jericho series and come back and tell me you want to see a second Civil War. But even in the Jericho series, that was a best case scenario. What happened in the movie series Jericho, there was actually somebody came out as a winner. It was actually the people who started it, which is kind of a spoiler to the show, but nonetheless, that's not what you're going to see. It's going to be beyond beyond terrifying. Because you're looking at something that's completely, completely beyond all words. That you know, you've got, look, if you really sit down and you calculate up and you think about all the different gangs that are in the United States and all the different militias that are in the United States, the average Joe who has been, you know, basically desensitized to violence, and you know, you put all these factors in together, you're not going to know who your enemy is, period. There was a Asian general, I believe, that said that the reason why they wouldn't do a ground invasion on America is because behind every blade of grass would be a gun, which is the truth. And you know, it would not fare well for a standing army to come in here and try to, you know, attack the United States. It just wouldn't work. You know, outside of a nuclear holocaust, you know, we're pretty secure here. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not saying secure as in the individual, because it would be beyond terrifying. It'd be horrible for the individual family trying to just you know, get through every average day or whatever because of the complete and utter chaos. A little tiny example is, go look and watch all the videos of all the college towns and how those people act towards each other. And between the lies and the manipulation and the propaganda from the mainstream media, most of which to try to get ratings, other of which to try to sell books and all this kind of stuff, people are just burnt out. They're fed up. I don't believe the average Joe wants anything to do with a second civil war. And I honestly don't think the government itself wants anything to do with a second civil war. Because the utter chaos that would come about it, you know, you don't know who's on whose side anymore. You wouldn't know which, how much of the military would support which faction or whatever. You wouldn't know how many different militias actually existed. You wouldn't know how many different gangs had ideas, or, you know, America's a melting pot, a whole lot more than what you could possibly imagine. Now, I know a lot of this probably sounds crazy, but my hopes is that we can actually look at this with some common sense, and we can try to figure out who's the Jerry Springers behind the scenes that are pushing the buttons. You know, Jerry Springer, he had a money-making episode, because he got, you know, if you go watch the Jerry Springer show, he would get whispering in one person's ear and then whispering in the other person's ear. Get these two people out on stage, they would fight amongst each other, and the crowd would go wild, Jerry, Jerry, but they didn't realize the lives that were being destroyed right before their very eyes. And even if they did at this stage in the game, they probably didn't even care. You know, people, for some reason, in today's modern culture, like to see violence. They like to see each other fighting, and they like to see drama and all that stuff. That's probably why the mainstream media does what they do, because it sells. Sex sells, violence sells, drugs sell, guns sell, everything. It's like total chaos. But they know what makes money. They know how to push buttons. And they've been doing this for a long time. And unless the good people of the world actually come together and use common sense to not fall for the shenanigans that are basically using we the people as pawns to further an agenda, you know, if you go out there and really pay attention, you maybe want to go down a rabbit hole and check out some things like the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act, which you've heard us mention here before, and, you know, Agenda 2030 and all these kind of deals like that. Now you can go to the extent to look at the Georgia Guidestones and the words written on there. Somebody put those words on there. Somebody honestly has that belief that depopulation would be a good thing. And so, you know, you got to ask the question, who is it behind the scenes that has the power, the capability to put all these words out there for the public to get you mad at that person over there and get them mad at you at the same time, and what would be their ultimate purpose for doing so? The ultimate purpose, as far as my opinion goes, or the common sense would dictate, is that they want you to fight for some particular reason. War makes money. There's people who've actually said, people of power, you know, elitists, who have actually said that war is profitable. The best way to get out of a depression is to take your nation to war. It builds up industry, it brings the nation together, you're fighting against a common enemy out there. That might not even be your doggone enemy. You was propagandized or, you know, red flagged into doing something, false flagged into doing something that you probably otherwise wouldn't even considered had they not have lied to you to begin with. You've been lied to. You've been manipulated. You've been basically indoctrinated. You've been profiled. They know which ones of you is probably going to stand up and go toe-to-toe with your government if everything got out of hand. They know which one of you has potentials of violence. They know which one of you are pacifists. They know which ones of you who are just going to stay back and watch and see what happens and probably support the side that wins. They already got that figured out. They know who you are. And if you don't think that they know who you are, you're deceiving yourself. Because all these social media networks like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all that, you think they're not paying attention to your words? And when the words start getting to the point where you're stepping on the wrong toes, they are actively censoring your words. And there are sides of the fence who are actually doing this in order to be able to further their agenda. So they're going to tell you what you need to hear in order to get you to vote a certain way or to act a certain way. So what it all boils down to is manipulation. But the end game, according to them, ends justifying the means to bring us under a more peaceful world to live in, so to speak, or whatever, is going to have to come from complete and utter chaos, and that complete and utter chaos has to take America down in order to be successful. Otherwise, if Americans are still being able to do what Americans do, other countries will probably want to be more like America. They'll probably want some freedom. They'll probably want to be able to speak out against their government. They'll probably want to have remedy. They'll probably want to have, you know, the means for self-defense. And you can't have that in a situation where you have a dictatorship or a one-world government and everybody's supposed to be peaceful and the only ones who have weapons are those who deem to have authority over those who don't. Folks, you got to use some common sense. We live in an era right now where the information age is just mind-blowing. The information you're being bombarded with is just incredible. But we're standing at a crossroads, as I've said many times, and we have to make wise decisions on how we're going to proceed forward. If you react the way that they want you to react when they pull these dirty deeds on you, or shenanigans, however you want to look at it, you're going to give them exactly what they want. This is why they put laws into place, in order just such an emergency that we have to bring about peace and we have to declare martial law and get everybody, you know, rounded up and those agitators re-educated or whatever. I am personally tired of being called a Nazi. I'm personally tired of listening to my country being, said as Nazi Germany. I'm personally tired as a, you know, supposed white man of being told that I'm a racist, a xenophobe, a homophobe, or whatever type of phobe. I'm tired of the labeling. And so if I'm personally tired of the labeling, then I'm sure that there's a majority of the white males out there and other races as well. I'm just saying, but you can see the blatant, obvious attack, because it's always the white man who's going to get violent and do all these crazy things. But nonetheless, if I'm personally tired of it, then there are a lot more white males out there that are probably tired of it as well. And somebody who may not have been a racist may be steered towards that racist, being a racist. You know, radicalization of people, it comes in a sneaky form. You know, you get somebody who wasn't a radical Muslim, and you tell them certain things, and you convince them of certain things, you can radicalize them. You can radicalize a Christian. You can radicalize an atheist. You can radicalize anybody you want to if you take the time to convince them of your story and get them on board with your agenda. Now they're trying to radicalize the American citizen, and to some extent on the college campuses it is working very well. You've got two sides fighting each other, you know, supposed Trump supporters who are the not Nazi racist hate ones, and you got the Antifa who are supposedly the fighters for social justice and such, and they're pushing these two together. And when you're sitting there watching with a balanced, truthful eye, and you see police officers standing in the background not doing anything while crimes are being committed, then you have to understand that somebody told them to stand down. Somebody wants these two groups to battle each other. And when this occurs, it will only escalate. It will only continue. You can only keep poking at somebody so long before finally something snaps and they just, that enough is enough. And I hope that we're not to that stage where we're at the enough is enough stage, because if we become to that stage where enough is enough, you will see America in a second civil war. But what you see at the end of that second civil war will not be anything resembling freedom or America, period. What you'll see is something like some crazy Mad Max Road Warrior style wasteland that we'll never ever be able to got control of. Now, the only way that they'll ever be able to change that future would be to come in and completely devastate and basically take out every single living soul in America in order to de-radicalize, so to speak, that area. Now, if you don't believe me, just sit back and wait and watch. And I just don't want to see that happen. I just don't want to see our future generations have to go through that. But if America falls, you think it's not going to have a ripple effect into Canada and Mexico and all over the world? America's so intertwined everywhere, just like every other place is intertwined with us. There are business entities in every one of them, but there are these so-called elitist or secret societies behind the scenes pushing buttons that are manipulating the masses. And people like George Soros, go look into this man and find out what he does and his way of thinking. And they're using their finances, they're using their power, their reach into the media to be able to steer agendas and destabilize nations. Look up destabilization of nations and see how many times that this has been done. And I'm not even saying that our government hasn't deliberately destabilized certain areas out there. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to think that they're not. But nonetheless, it's a real thing. And you destabilize America because you believe that someday that you could actually break America down, take away the Constitution, disarm everybody, and then, you know, bring in your one world government. Well, unfortunately, you're fooling yourself. If you're one of the elitists that think you can run down inside those bunkers and actually survive that apocalyptic scenario, you're fooling yourself, because there are people who actually built those bunkers, who know where those bunkers are, and that place will become your tomb. So, you know, like I said, I am not an advocate of violence. I'm not an advocate of death. I'm not even anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity, And what you see going on out there in the media, I have to ask the question, when will the media ever be held accountable for running into a crowded theater and shouting fire? Is because that's exactly what they've been doing. You tell everybody that your president of the United States is a racist and a homophobe and a xenophobe and a criminal, and the simple minds out there who literally believe the doggone media as the gospel, they are going to react. So with that said, this isn't a one-man show. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey there, Shaz. I'm doing good. Hi, everybody out there in People for People Land. It's a Sunday, and our clocks bounced back again to drive everybody crazy. Just saying.
Oh, I despise the doggone daylight
savings. We all do. I think this is part of a civil war of our minds to get us all insane and crazy of this period of time in the year.
Yep.
So I think this is a great topic. And I have a perspective here that, so apparently the U.S. Civil War that we all remember actually continues. Okay, we all thought it ended in 1865, but, you know, look at this constant logjam in the Congress, the U.S. Congress.
Yep.
Doesn't it make plain to us that the Civil War is still very present?
Well, and also, I don't think that we ever really got away from the crown.
No, we didn't. I said that years ago. I put it together. I said, hey, wait a second. Do we actually believe them that tell us, well, we won the war and the revolution to be free, and we were never a free country, that because the pretty much during that period of time, you have a major part of this land here, Turtle Island, what had been settled. I mean, you had people from Europe here, money people, okay, elite people who had settled in with the banking system, various industries, corporate circumstances here on this land, and then we had a revolution to free ourselves from the queen, the monarchy. Well, do you think that these people, these big uppity people, these elite people, the corporate mind people, the bankers and so on, packed up their bags and kind of like went back home? No.
Oh, no. They used it for a profitable deal because they knew now, hey, look, we can make money off these fools.
Well, but they already started. They were embedded here in this part of the world long before our revolution to be free of the monarchy, right?
Yeah.
And so these people were not going to pack up their bags with their tails between their legs. They just stepped back behind the curtain.
No.
And that happens to be what we call today the deep state. Okay, they just continued their dirty work. So, but looking at this, apparently what's going on here is you have the, what's happening in America today seems to be even worse, I guess you could say, than during the revolution. It's like a virulence that most other civilized nations are looking at as breathtaking and, of course, you know, irresponsible. But you have to look at what causes civil war. Civil wars are unfolding and happening in today here and in the world. Look at how many people, how many countries. You have civil war, people on the streets, Chile, Venezuela, Hong Kong, Paris, and probably others that I'm not mentioning. What is this? It's a deep divisions between people in their societies. Well, we have a deep division in America's society today. So, the Civil War, here's how I look at it. We have a civil war for our morals. We have a civil war against God, or you could say the golden rule, right?
Yeah.
We have the civil war about the division between the rich and the poor. We have a civil war going on about race today. We have a political war against freedom, our constitution. We have a civil war about our children. Our children's protection, our children's minds and their spirits. We have that going on. We have a civil war about our Constitution and losing our freedoms. We could say the Second Amendment. So what we have here is also a war against our minds, our bodies, and our spirits through technology.
Yep.
This, to me, are like all the tells me civil war is not ended, okay? But it's about, it used to be, I guess, about a cultural cultural battle or race. Now it's about the economy and many other things. Is the Civil War is still happening? And you know, there's you could say, well, the left, the new left, is calling for the Civil War in America. You know, there's a whole list of information about why there is still civil war, six reasons why a new civil war will happen, and so on.
Well, there's one thing else to point out that, you know, if you obviously seen this last election, you know, most generally, elections prior to Trump, people had, they didn't like it because it came out, but they tolerated it, and this time around, they just completely and utterly rejected the election. And you can see that you know they're calling him not their president or illegitimate president, but that's a scary trend, because now that every single election from this point on, one side or the other is not going to accept the election. You see what I'm saying here?
I do see that, and of course we know that was part of the agenda. We know why. Well, first of all, I guess you'd say your average person who went out to vote, who determined whether they were going to vote for Hillary or Trump, okay, just like any other election, okay, and I have always said there's something fishy about our elections. Well, now we know that the fishy thing means corruption and manipulation, and I think we know that.
Yeah.
But you have these two people, Republican or Democrat, and so people went out and voted, like is our right, our part of our rights here, our constitutional right.
Well, it's actually our duty.
Well, it's also our duty, but it is our right, freedom, to vote for who you want without being attacked or called a deplorable or spit upon or attacked or whatever, or called a white supremacist or a Nazi or whatever. If you voted for Trump today, you were called a misogynist, a Nazi, a pervert, sexual pervert. You're called all these things that they're calling him. What I'm saying is, years ago, if your party lost, okay, you sucked it up, you got on with life, and that was that until the next election. But that was not working anymore for the deep state because of their plan for Hillary to become the president, and we know what all that meant, whether you believe it or not. If you don't do the investigations, I guess you won't really know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But so now we know there's dirty politics. You know, there's dirty politics, there's the dirty media, there's all these things I'm talking about. I felt this was real. I felt our politics are dirty. I felt the media is dirty. I have always felt this. Okay, so here we are, it's right in our face. And I want to mention this too, because you did kind of drift through this about the Georgia Guidestones. This is another civil war we're talking about, is the global depopulation agenda.
Yep.
You know, now you could say, the Georgia Guidestones, that's a farce, it's a, you know, hokey thing, it's not real, it's not true.
Somebody wrote it down. Somebody literally took the time to put it in stone.
Yes,
so
exactly.
There's at least one person out there with a lot of money and a lot of power that was able to not only get it in place, but keep it in place all this time. So somebody out there thinks like that. That's the key.
Well, it's based a lot upon the One World Order idea, the plan of the One World Order. It's not just somebody wrote down a bunch of information here.
Yeah, but the fact is that you see with those words that somebody out there actually thinks that way. And so if more than one somebody out there thinks that way, then we got a problem. You see what I mean?
Well, you have to... Somebody wrote this stuff down, so... But it... So you could say, well, these commandments, they're called, seem harmless enough. They're very... You know, the first... very first describes the supreme sentiment of the mysterious group of Masons who erected these stones. So if you want further narrative for what they represent, you don't have to look far. For instance, this university professor, Paul Ehrlich, he wrote the population bomb states, but here's what he said. The first task is population control at home. How do we go about it? Well, many of my colleagues feel that some sort of compulsory birth regulation would be necessary to achieve such control. Well, could we say abortion?
Well, wasn't Planned Parenthood founded by somebody who was basically trying to do exactly that?
Yes, Margaret Sanger. She has a history that will chill you. You know, her involvement with the genetic Hitler's genetic, she was involved in that. And she said some things about people of color that were, well, again, not nice and very prejudiced and very violent. So, well,
and now people support that. But they don't know. They
and
don't
then
know
they're selling,
that.
And then they're talking about, you know, infanticide with taking the and aborting a baby. That I don't even want to go there. But this is what we're looking at about this particular birth regulation. This was a big piece. Then you have one plan often mentioned involves the addition of temporary sterilants to water supplies or staple food. Well, they've already done that. Now you have doses of the antidote would be carefully rationed by the government to produce the desired population size.
Jeez. And then didn't Bill Gates say that if we did a good job with vaccinations, we could get the population under control?
He spoke those words on a video at a TED Talk, I think, or some other talk. You can look at that. Now, there's a very powerful man. And all these powerful people, you know, have their agenda. They're all working. This is the good old boys club, I'm saying. And they have a plan.
Vaccinations are supposed to be to vaccinate you against diseases. It's not for population control. You know,
well, then you have the vaccinations of children and what's going on there. And you even have medical doctors now talking about that they're very concerned about this this immunization thing. And then you have the flu virus. But so here's what this continuing with this article says. We can see clearly that the elite class, their intent on ridding the planet of its burdensome load has already poisoned the water of 42 out of 50 states with lead. Did you know that?
No, but it don't surprise me none.
Then you have pesticides and fertilizers that are poisoning the remaining states, the water, along with the original 42 states. Then you have male infertility, which is rising due to these contaminants, and premature births, along with miscarriages, are very common today. If the water doesn't kill you, it will simply lobotomize you, which we
talk
about.
Well, all you got to do is, like I said, I've said this many, many times, go into a Walmart in the middle of the night, because Walmart stays up 24 hours a day, and look at the people that come through there. You would be surprised at how sick. Well, you can even go during the daytime, but it seems like most of them come out at night. And they look almost zombified. They look sick. They look miserable. And this is a lot of the population.
Well, this is the zombie apocalypse. We're in it. This is where people are so zombified. And again, due to various pesticides, to fluoride in the water, to technology.
Not to mention the crud they put in junk food these days.
And drugs, the various medical profession. But to go on with this, this is information that he's equating with the guidestones here. He says, so Harvard Medical has pronounced that fluoridated water lowered IQ scores in children who drank it. And aluminum, along with fluoride, is a known neurotoxin, which is contributing to the rising number of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and neurodegenerative diseases. So to think the global or the guidestones are wacky, well, this is equating to what is really happening.
You want to know what the dirty little secret about that? And I don't know if people actually contemplate on this. Is that you would call what you just explained a soft kill, which means that you're not killing them directly, but in the process of doing this soft kill, you can keep them sick enough where you can make a lot of money off of them.
Well, that's the other part. So here's a question. Should poisoning the water be insufficient to keep the population down? Well, you can look to the advice of David Brower, who was once executive director of the Sierra Club, and founder of the Friends of the Earth. Listen to this. He suggests that childbearing should be a punishable crime against society unless the parents hold a government license.
Wow.
All potential parents should be required to use contraceptive chemicals, the government issuing antidotes to citizens chosen. for childbearing.
That's crazy.
There will be. This is forced coerced sterilization at the hands of the eugenics board. Okay? These are things, this is very, very fascinating. So you have, so some investigators recently found that 148 female inmates in two California prisons were sterilized between 2006 and 2010. It's probably still going on, and there may be 100 more incidents of these back to the late 1990s. The women were signed up for the surgery while they were pregnant and housed at either the California Institution for Women or the State Prison for Women in Chowchilla, which is now a men's prison. And former inmates and prisoners advocate maintain that prison medical staff coerced these women, targeting those deemed likely to return to prison in the future.
Wow.
So this goes on and on. You have, do they think that they're animals and they don't want them to breed anymore? Oh my God, this person says, this is not right. Today, vaccines are used in a similar manner to help cull the population. This is culling. This is what culling means. You cull the population against their informed consent. Here we go. Eugenist Bill Gates tried to field test his HPV vaccine in India on indigenous young girls. But the Indian government eventually brought a stop to this. Then you have the Rockefeller family, who quietly funds vaccines that have to alter a woman's hormones to make her less likely to become pregnant or even to maintain a pregnancy.
Well, I want to put something else on the table, and I know this is tinfoil hat sounding, but it seems to be that, and maybe it's just my observation, because I've been, the way that I was raised and the people that I was raised around, the, you know, people I've seen my entire life in my local community, you know, a man used to be manly, but you're starting to see some kind of weird change where men are becoming, I'm just going to say it, more feminized.
You know? Yeah.
And to some extent, getting in touch with your feelings, I get that. All right,
but that's that testing on the frogs with that new pesticide.
Yeah, but you're starting to see something just completely off the wall, bizarre, where, you know, it's not cool to be a manly man anymore. That you're a homophobe or a xenophobe, or whatever. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, there's a civil war. That's a civil war against a male. Then there's the civil war against the female. What is a female? What is a male? I mean, these are indoctrinations that children have been under basically for centuries now. It's implied in order to be accepted that you must be this type of man. Or in order to be accepted as a woman, you must dress this way. Then there's the sexualizing of children. And it's like, this is a civil war to me. It's a civil war against humanity. It is still continuing. Do you know, like, people like Henry Kissinger, these are the elite. You know what they refer to us people as? Useless eaters.
Yeah, that's
crazy. This is a mindset that is evil. I'm just saying, so you talk about the Civil War ended, we're not in Civil War now, but we're heading for a Civil War, I'm sorry, we are in many Civil Wars, that's what I feel, for our health, our well-being, you know, when you talk about the Civil War against, when I wrote down here, Civil War against the morals, and of course against the Golden Rule, you could say God, or the teachings of Yeshua if you want, you know, the taking down of your personal beliefs, you know, like you can't pray in school. Not that I want to be forced to pray. You have a right, if you want to pray, you have a right to put a menorah on your lawn or a crucifix or, you know, during Christmas time. You have a right to these things because this is a free country. But now, today, you can't do this stuff. Everybody's picking on everybody else. This is the division amongst people. Us, black, red, yellow, white, Republican, Democrat. This is a war. This is a war, folks. So you could call it a civil war. You could call it a war for our minds, spirits, and bodies, our health and well-being. But we are in a war, And we are in a spiritual war, big time. That's what I say.
I'm going to read something real quick because it kind of goes with what I said a second ago. A treatment program involving 100 prisoners at Watton Prison, a specialist prison for sex offenders, is Nottinghamshire, has seen them undergo chemical castration. The drug used is called Luprolin or something like that, which is marketed as Prostap. It reduces the prisoner's testosterone levels to those of the pubescent children. And there was one other one that they was actually put in prisoners' food, but I can't remember what the actual name of that was. But nonetheless, it is proven technology that they actually have drugs that actually could do that. So, if they were putting some sort of watered down version of that into the public water system, it would explain why men are being more feminized these days. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, today, I hate to say it, but from what I've read over the years, what I've investigated over the years, and today what I see clearly, it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me today.
Yeah, it don't surprise me either, but, you know, it's something just isn't, like when you talked about the gay frog, I mean, it kind of sounds funny, but it's not. You know, if a chemical...
Well, I remember years ago, and I don't know how typical this was, but I remember there was sort of like an uptick in young boys growing breasts, you know?
Yeah, and there were also things because of the modifications of how they grew dairy milk, that there were young girls who were basically, how am I going to say this?
Well, they were developing very, very early.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say that. And that's been happening for many years now. The development of young girls has been really out of balance. You know, so this, we have a lot of, to me, this is civil war, which is against every aspect of ourselves. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
So it's not like, now talking about the a civil war where people are out in the streets. So like I said, you have Chile, Venezuela, Hong Kong, Paris now, and others in the world. I know Gaz talks about what's going on in the UK with the Brexit thing, and that they're on the verge. And here in the United States, we see more and more people out in the streets pushing each other, punching each other, and the police in riot gear. And so on some level, we are already in that civil war,
yeah,
mindset. And so you question, well, who would want civil war, and what would they have to gain? Because like you say, in today's time with the weapons and so on, it would be brutal. It would be like a war that we have never seen.
Yep.
And that's what they want. And I think that they want... Well, who are they?
As far as I'm concerned, it would literally be worse. I mean, magnitudes times worse than what was happening in Vietnam.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. But, you know, here's the point. War has never ended.
No, it hasn't.
Our country, the United States, has been at war. I don't know. There's a statistics. A certain amount of years out of whatever we've been in existence, and it's mind-blowing to think about it. We've never been pretty much had any time of peace. It appeared to be peaceful, I suppose you could say, and everybody breathed a sigh of relief, you know, from the Great War or this war or that war. But you think of the veterans. They're still at war in their minds.
Yep.
So you have war, continuing war, in the minds of the people. Look at the people. Let's talk about the black people. Let's talk about the African Americans. Within their minds, they still are roiling from the war, their war, okay, for their life and their freedoms, and the genocide upon them. The same thing with the American Indian people. The Indian people are still, to this day, still battling the demons of war in their minds and their spirits.
Yep.
So, and this is, to me, part of the agenda, okay, is to destroy what is sacred. I just have to keep saying that.
I believe that.
And then you have to ask, well, who on earth would want to destroy what is sacred?
Hey,
that means you and me. That means, yep, your child. That means your grandchildren and your coming generation. Who on earth would want to destroy this water so we can't drink the water, or the air so we can't... Who on earth? Well, is it anybody on earth? Are these earth people? I think these are not people. And I think it's evil. I think that's the answer that came to me. There's no other answer that I can come up with. Who is it, or what is it, that would want to destroy something so sacred and so beautiful as an innocent child?
Yep.
And the earth, the water, the forest. I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, well, greed, you can look at the greed factor, to me, is evil. You know, once you get on that train of greed, you will do anything, no matter what it is, to get the more money and to satisfy your greedy needs, your desires. And that's when the devil, we can say the story of the devil, comes and whispers to you in your ear. You know, it's like, you can have anything you want. I will give you anything. Any of your dreams, your creepiest desires, I'll give it to you. You just give me your soul.
Well, the book says we don't fight against flesh and blood, so there's something going
on. I think that was a clue.
Yeah.
You think that was a clue?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the whole thing is, I'm hoping that somehow or another these words will resonate out there and people will see the world for what it really is and not react the way the system wants them.
I totally agree. That's why we're talking like this,
yep,
aren't we?
Yep, that's the whole thing.
So what are you saying? So don't act like the way the system wants you to act. Well, let's identify some of those things. What would those be? What do you and I realize, you know, and my sister Patty and Gaz and some other people here on the People for People and also listening?
Well,
what are those things? Let's identify them. What really concerns us? What are we really aware of that they want the people to do that will basically put those people in the hands of this stuff?
The simplest example out there that I've given multiple times was the Jerry Springer effect, because he made a lot of money off of keeping people fighting. And that is the whole entire key. Not only can you keep control, but you can also, because Jerry also had his own security. A lot of people don't know that. But nonetheless, you get people fighting. And if you got rules set in place, such as the government's National Defense Authorization Act and, the Patriot Act, which basically takes away your rights, anybody could be deemed a terrorist and then hauled off to a secret prison without a trial or anything like that. And if you get these people to fight each other and they start going against that and gives you the authority to enact that, just like martial law in itself, where the military is actually out there in the streets. Martial law in itself is a watered-down version of what the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act is all about.
That's right.
So,
but let me ask you this.
Yeah?
Let me ask you this question. Does this put us between a rock and a hard place? Because what you're saying is they want us acting like we're on the Jerry Springer show.
Yep.
They want us punching each other, spitting each other, fighting each other, crashing down on the floor, rolling around like a bunch of idiots. They want us doing that.
Yep.
Now you say, well, wait a second. If I'm a citizen and I'm a human being and I disagree with this, what they're doing, and they're harming my children, they're harming me, I have a right to fight and I should fight. I should get out there and punch somebody, or I should set a building on fire, or I should blow up a car or something.
Yep.
So I have a right to protect myself. So they're thinking, well, this is how I'm going to protect myself and my family.
Well,
I've got to get out there.
They're using your rights as a power tool to justify you getting crazy and going beyond, you know, whatever it took.
There you go. Exactly. But I'd say, my question, I want to look at this again, is like, would some people feel that this puts them in between a rock and a hard place? We're saying, or we're advising, let's say, or suggesting, don't get out there and bloody people up. Don't get out there and burn the federal building down or whatever. As much as I'd like to, I'm just saying. Not that I want to bloody people up. That's not what I.
That's what they want, though.
That's what they want. So, but then you say, well, I have a right to fight. for protection and my rights and my beliefs, so I'm going to get out there and fight. But then what are you doing when you do that? You're falling into their plan.
That's
exactly
it. That's exactly it, right there.
And so
that's
then that gives
saying.
Them the right to do what?
Well, they can basically haul you off as a terrorist. You know, they've already cataloged you. They already know your political leanings. They know, you know, everything that there is to know about you. So you're already... There was a conspiracy theory some time back. And
another one?
Yeah.
Only one?
This one had to do with mailboxes and a little red dot that was put on, or different colors of dots that were put on mailboxes. People can look that up. You know, you might go to, like, what that one deal that, I can't remember the name of the website, Snopes or whatever, and they might probably try to debunk it and pass it off as some sort of, you know, urban legend or something like that. But I had heard about this doggone deal where when the census guy or gal came around, that they would actually, you know, try to get you to put the information into the census. Well, you're only obligated by, you know, law to how many people's in the house and, you know, that kind of thing like that. Not about what type of refrigerator you're using or all these other invasive things about your home. Do you have any weapons or anything like that? And if you basically sort of worked with them, they'd put one color on there. And if you were completely like anti-government, they'd put another color on there. And so this was supposedly so that during a certain time, like martial law, they would come around, they'd see this dot on your mailbox and know whether you were a threat or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well,
I'm not surprised.
I'll see if I can find it while we're talking, but there was a video out there, and of course I paraphrased everything, but that was the essential of the thing. Was they
Well, they've advanced all that now by getting a chip. If you don't have a chip, then you're going to be a terrorist. It's like that. If you don't agree to getting a chip, you're going to be the terrorist. Period. That's it.
Yep. And so, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, there's people out there who actually believe that the government has already profiled them, and that they're actually on the list. There's a lot of militias out there. There's a lot of unofficial and official militias out there. And so we don't even know, like I said earlier, if the Second Civil War started, you wouldn't even know who your enemy was. Literally. Do you know your neighbor's political leanings? you know your neighbor's trustworthiness? You might have the best neighbor in the world, but go watch the movie Jericho and see what those best neighbors in the world did to each other when they thought they were in, you know, going to starve or whatever. You know, and so people tell
me. I was just telling my son the other day, years ago, I remember it was taboo to talk about which political party that you were signed up with. It was you couldn't, you know, and you never asked anybody, are you a Republican or a Democrat? No, that was taboo. It was all secret, which is interesting. And then the other thing I think, okay, so now we're all set up. When did this start, that you have to sign up for a party? You're either Democrat or Republican. Otherwise, you can't vote, of course. And you have a right to vote, but yeah, you have to sign up for a party. And so they got us there, didn't they? So
okay, I snopesed it.
You snopesed it?
Yeah.
Hey, I just brought in Patty. Is she here?
How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Interesting conversation.
Let me read this real quick. Snopes says FEMA marking mailboxes with colored stickers. They got it listed as a rumor. FEMA is marking mailboxes with colored dots to indicate the disposition of residents in the New World Order. Of course, I don't trust Snopes anyway, but nonetheless, that was a conspiracy. But I never did get to finish my story. And it's crazy because unless somebody was trying to pull a prank on me, which nobody, I never talked to anybody about this particular video that I saw about this particular deal, I went out to my mailbox one day, and as I was walking towards my mailbox, I quite literally seen a red dot on my mailbox. And I'm like, no. But there it was. There was a red dot. And I'm looking at this picture on... I'll post the article in there of a mailbox that has a red dot on it. So you'd have to read the article to see what else they say about it. But nonetheless, it's just... It's crazy.
And, well, you're a marked man.
Yeah, so I guess if martial law comes around, I'll be heading off to Guantanamo or one of the black ops places, I guess. But if you don't hear from me, that's where I'm at. I ain't worried about it. You know what? I got a good relationship with my creator, so I think we got this.
So, sis, you like our conversation so far? Hello?
She got muted.
She did.
Yeah, she's probably talking, but don't realize the mic's off.
Oh, dear.
Hi, Patty.
Is she on the call?
I see her there.
Okay. Hey, sis. Hello, where are you?
Maybe they got her.
I am here. I just had, you know, my house, Grand Central.
Okay. I asked you, I said, so you like our conversation so far?
Yes, yes. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with what's going on over in California. And, well, I know you are. But this morning, first thing I do, I get on here, I look at my news feed, and guess what? Stephens posted that link. Did you see it?
I did not. What is it?
California governor threatens state takeover of PG&E. And there you go.
Oh, wow.
There's the crux of the matter. This is a socialist state that is now imposing socialist agendas across the board. This is a state that is outside of the Constitution now. It is fully outside of the Constitution when it starts taking over private businesses. You know, this is crazy. I'm watching this happen in the country that I was born in. You know, and it's amazing to me. It's blowing my mind. And I just wanted to let you know, Shaz, that Snopes is about the worst place you want to go for any clarification or confirmation.
Oh, I agree. But yeah. Nonetheless, I was trying to remember what that conspiracy was talking about. And, you know, of course, if you go read the article, you'll see what their version of what it is. But I don't buy anything that Snopes says, just like I don't trust Wikipedia, for obvious reasons. But nonetheless, it was a conspiracy that was out there at one point, and there are people who have heard these conspiracy theories that may very well take them to heart, and that's the whole key. It's just like what's going on the liberal side of, you know, this political rioting that you see on college campuses in their towns or whatever, is that each one of them are getting their information from their perspective sides, whether it be conservative or liberal, and they are physically reacting. They're beating each other up. People are getting triggered over a red hat, for Pete's sake. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, but that's all part and parcel of this move towards this global system.
Yeah.
It's all manufactured. Of course, we've talked about this before.
I was saying to Shaz that, because we just started off talking about possible civil war coming, and I said we are in a civil war. It never ended. But we're in a civil war for our morals. We're in a civil race war again, political war. War against our freedoms, the Constitution. We're in a civil war for, you know, upon our children, safety and security, their spirits. We're in a, you know, Chile, Venezuela, Hong Kong, Paris, they're all in a civil war, and probably others. So it's like we are in a civil war, don't you think?
Well, I don't think there's any race war. I think it's all a bunch of fluff and bull, because...
Well,
I know what a race.
I know what it's
yeah. like to grow up under martial law because of racial riots. I grew up through that. It was commonplace,
right.
And this is nothing that's going on today even resembles that in the least. What we have are thugs that are running the streets, and are calling out the racism word just to incite. But it's only one-sided. This is all one-sided. When you look at the actual actions that are being taken, there's not two sides in this fight. There's only one side so far that keeps on throwing all of this around, making these claims of inequality and racial unrest and all of this stuff. But what it's doing along with the laws that are being passed, along with the total disregard for law, for the people, for the welfare, for truth that's going on in our government, by our government leaders, by our representatives. They are flat out and out in your face, doing everything they can to convince you that they are not on your side. I mean, they're not hiding it. They're throwing it out there in your face and saying, look at it, come on, get mad, get mad, get mad. We need you rising up. They want us at each other. They want us at each other so bad that right now they are tearing this government apart to make sure that happens.
Yeah. That's why I say it's a civil war going on of the mind. Mind, body, and spirit. I still say they're pushing that type of a civil war. Yeah. It appears.
And it's global.
And it's global. Yeah, exactly.
You see, that's the thing that really should catch people's attention is that, here in America, we can tell you what's going on here. And people, that know what America has been built on and everything and how things have gone are looking over here saying, what the frick is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
What the heck is going on? But we can do that in any country now. Any country. Because it's the same thing. Repeat. Rinse, repeat. Rinse, repeat. Whatever country you go to, you're dealing with the same incompetence in government. Deliberate. You're dealing with the same attacks on the people. You're dealing with the same restrictive laws, the taking of property. Everything that is against the people to get the people up in arms. And the people are. I mean, when it's like I've said before, a rock in a hard place. You have no choice, do you? I mean, you can sit back and you can let this thing move over. And they'll put the little FEMA camps up, and they'll park your little butt right in there, or you can do something to stop it, But either way, this isn't going away until it comes to a head. They're moving towards globalization. We got the UN is in Utah right now in a building, a public building that taxpayers paid for, telling the taxpayers, you got no rights here anymore. It's our building. It was given to us. We are the UN. We don't have to abide by your laws. You have to abide by ours. That's in Utah. This is crazy. This is absolutely insane.
I was saying this is a test, right? This is a test
Yes.
to see how the public here will react. What's the reaction going to be if we send the UN into a place in Utah in a building and start to claim that it's ours, it's not your building? That was shocking, but this to me is like a test. Incrementally, they're going to introduce this type of stuff because it's coming full blown. That's how I see it.
Right. And like this socialized agenda going on in California taking over the electric company. And they were prepared for this.
Yeah.
When was it that I read the article? What was it? 3, 4, 5 months ago about the new consensus. That instead of having a company that furnishes the whole state or a large portion of the state with electricity, what they want to do is go the green way, where each little individual city will have its own little grid, and it will be controlled. It will be controlled so they can shut the electricity off just in this city. Instead of the whole country, the whole state, and I mean, this is part of the Agenda 2030.
Yeah, you know, right in our face.
Sustainability. Yeah.
So they know all these things I see as testing the population. They're going to create a problem. It's the same thing, problem, reaction, solution. Let's see where the minds of the people are. Let's see how awake they are or not. And then we'll just push forward. We'll put this agenda down. We'll unfold this piece, and let's see how the people react. Will they accept it? Will they be sleeping, accept it or not? Well, it's coming, whether you're going to accept it or not. But they're gauging the population to see how their reactions are, to see how they're going to defend their decisions, right?
Passed by Congress in 2005, the Real ID Act enacted the 9/11 Commission's recommendation that the federal government set standards for issuance of sources of identification such as driver's license. The act established a minimum security standard for the state-issued driver's license and the identification cards, and prohibits federal agencies from accepting for official purposes licenses and identification cards from that state that do not meet these standards. These purposes are accessing federal facilities, boarding federally regulated commercial aircraft, entering nuclear power plants, and it goes on and on. I'll post this link to everybody out there, Department of Homeland Security. But in my state, I was actually at the Motor Vehicle License Bureau, and I heard the people behind the counter talking about the Real ID. Asked this one person if their driver's license had the Real ID deal on there, and apparently there's a star on your new driver's license if you have the Real ID, and that's supposed to tell everybody that you've been vetted and you know all your paperwork's been checked out and all that kind of stuff. But it also has creepy implications about, you know, government and, you know, your privacy and so on down the line. But it's already been implemented, this thing that you guys have been talking about here, because it's already in the dang identification.
Well, it's here, and it's every light, didn't you?
It's nationwide right now.
Yeah.
By 2020, the whole of the U.S. will be compliant in that. I know for a fact it's here.
Yep.
And if
you don't accept it, you cannot get on an airplane.
Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
Let me tell you what happened to me. I just went to get my license renewed, and I was questioning the Real ID and this Enhanced ID, okay, because there's two. There's the Real ID and there's the Enhanced. And so I was there without my birth certificate or a passport, which I didn't know I had to bring. But she said, oh, you can just get the Real ID. The only thing is, if you don't get the Enhanced, and you have to do that by a certain date in October, all you have to do then when you're going to travel, you need your passport. So you can travel in the States. You just need your passport if you don't have the Enhanced.
I don't even
have
a passport.
But you cannot, even if you have that passport, if you don't have that star on your driver's license, on your ID, that little, and it is, it's a little gold star in the corner, the upper right-hand corner. I've seen it.
Yeah, I got it. Yep.
Yeah.
I got
if you
that
don't
one.
Have that little star, you can be denied access by any state, local, city, or governmental. You can be denied access if you do not comply by 2020.
If you don't have that star. But here's the thing.
Right.
I didn't get the Enhanced because I didn't have my birth certificate. But she said, you'll be okay. You got the Real ID, which has the star. But she said, if you travel inside the U.S., you have to now bring your passport. Okay.
And in 2024, I think it was 2024. They will be moving toward the global ID. That's what this is about.
Yeah, this is where we're moving. I'm not surprised.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. It will be compliant with the 2024 global agenda of IVs. All of them will be universal, let's say. Yeah. You know. And I was going to, I forget what I was going to say. Oh, you know, the way they're going, though, as I was talking about, between the rock and the hard place, what they're pushing these socialist agendas. They're taking land. Land will not be, you won't own land anymore. They're doing this in California. You're seeing these people whose houses are being destroyed and everything. They're not being allowed to rebuild. They're being pushed into the cities. It's amazing to me how well they've done this. And here it is. You have two choices that lead to the same outcome. You can resist and have the force of the global system on your back to make you comply, or you can just sit back and think that maybe I just won't be a part of it, but you will be sucked into it anyway. So what do we do? If you rise up, they put their boot on your back. If you don't rise up, they put their boot on your back.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
Well, that's the whole entire thing, man. And that's why I say, who's pushing us to civil war? Because it's happening. You know,
what's amazing to me, sis, is that we talked about this happening how long ago? We saw this coming. We spoke about this. We talked about this. We talked about the plan, the agenda, the incremental steps, what was going to be happening, and here we are.
And we were laughed at. We were laughed at and mocked and ridiculed for saying it. Huh.
Well, people are getting chipped. I mean, people are having chip parties. It's like, it's not around the corner. It's happening. It's being introduced in other countries that people are getting chips to, businesses are saying, if you want to get in the building here, you have to get a chip. And then you see these idiot people getting chips and holding up a t-shirt, I've been chipped, like, you know, like a bunch of idiots.
Yep.
They don't realize what's happening, what they're doing. But it's true. So you won't be able to travel. You won't be able to get food. The system, there won't be any monetary system like that. You'll have to have a chip in order to get whatever you need. And we saw this. I'm just saying, it's pretty mind-blowing because we identified this so long ago and spoke about it. But it came so rapidly, it seems, right?
So everything's going to be your papers, please.
They're under the gun. You know, they've been manipulating incrementally, thinking, and the people, for the most part, were going along with it. You know, the people were like, oh, it's just a little thing, you know. Oh, it's just a driver's license.
I can deal with this. Oh, I'll deal with this, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Oh, it's just cameras for safety on the streets. Oh, well, they're in the stores now to stop shoplifting. That's reducing the cost for us. Well, it ain't happened yet. But, you know, all these things were little, and they were incrementally added in, and it's like the frog in the pot of water,
yeah.
You know? But now they're under the gun because they've got a timeline that they have to stick to for some reason, and the people have been screwing it up. We've been screwing it up because we've been out there saying, hey, and now people are starting to listen because it's in their face now. They're having to deal with this system that's coming in, and they're seeing that, hey, this ain't right. This just isn't right.
Don't you think of this possibility that, okay, they have a timeline. There's certain things that they have stacked up and implemented and so on incrementally throughout pretty much generations. This timeline, well, you know, they do everything by numbers. They do everything by, let's say, by the alignments. They do everything by the ancient, alchemies and Kabbalistic teachings and information. So they do everything according to this type of level of, you know, of I guess I'm going to say demonic manipulations, you know, what they're working with on these levels. So they have a timeline for sure that they have to fulfill when everything is lined up. You have the numbers, you have the buildings, the geometries, you have all this stuff, the numbers, the dates, the calendars, the moons, you know, you have all this stuff. They're on some kind of a timeline for sure. We, you know, that's definite.
Yeah. Well, Angeline says, no man or woman or fictitious entity has the right to do anything of the sort to you. You are not their property. That's a fact. That's a fact, Angeline, but they're doing it.
Yep.
So, even though we know this is not right, they don't care. They don't care, and they are doing it. They are doing it.
Well,
you're either going to comply or you're going to be on the wrong side. And, of course, I'm on the wrong side. I'm not ever going to comply.
I think all three of us are, but unfortunately for myself, I think I'm already on the screwed list because I never even tried to fly after 9/11 because as soon as they started doing the whole TSA thing, I wasn't interested in going getting groped by some dude at an airport just so I could go visit family or anything, so I'd rather drive. But I got some marks against me already, number one, because obviously this show right here, I'm outspoken and, you know, I would talk about, you know, all the different truths and everything like that. However, I also I come from a long line of military people. Plus, I'm a veteran of the military that has been diagnosed with PTSD and tinnitus. And so, you know, just the PTSD portion of it alone, you go do some research on that, I could actually be considered dangerous, I guess, to some people, which, man, I'm beyond, I'm not even remotely dangerous unless somebody's, like, directly attacking me or my family. But, you know, that's one of the things that they use. Every time I go to the VA, which now if I don't have that real ID, I might not even be able to get into the VA for medical treatment. And so I will have to comply with that just to be able to get medical treatment. And who knows? Like I said, I ain't tried to fly since this whole 9/11 thing happened, and the doggone TSA took over the security. I could very well already be on a no-fly list and not even know it. And as far as a passport, I don't have a passport. Never had a passport. Don't even know how to get a passport, but if I got to go through all that trouble to get a passport, it ain't worth it to me. And so I'd rather drive or walk to where my destination is. And, you know, when it comes down to, you know, my medical or benefits or anything from the military, I could literally be cut off if I don't comply to that deal. And I think that's the position that they put a lot of people into. Especially think about the folks that are on welfare. You know, they got to go into a government building. If they don't comply and get that doggone deal, they won't be able to get their benefits or anything like that. How many people do you think is really aware of that?
Well, exactly. And think about this. They're nationalizing health care.
Yep.
So if you don't comply, you don't get health care.
Well, think about this.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
All right, I was going to say, think about this, that you think you're driving everywhere. Well, you're going to need a passport to drive across state.
Yep. I can't even go visit my brother in Florida because I won't have a passport to get across. And I said this, and I said it over and over. Why are they putting roundabouts all over the United States of America? Why?
Yep.
You know what a roundabout is? That's where you can put a guard shack right in the center of it. You only get two.
Oh, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
well, they're also, on the interstates, they're putting the cement barriers between the lanes so that you cannot cross.
That's right. Right? You don't have to go
that one direction.
Checkpoint.
Right.
That's it. One direction. Their direction. Their way. Their way or the highway. So, yeah, so here's the thing. Like May says, protests around the world now more than I have ever seen before, and I did mention that. We've talked about that, but some people think that's a good thing. They say, wow, the people are out in the streets, they're fighting their governments. Is it a real good thing? You know, because that's where they want you. It's like, okay, if they have the plan to put martial law out and get everybody, you know, under their martial law and reined in, well, they've got to have a reason for that.
They've got to get you fighting. They have to get you fighting in order to justify.
Yeah.
There's no other option, people. There's no other option. It's got to come down to that, because there are people like us who will not accept this globalist system. And like May is talking about, you're seeing it across the world. People are rising up because they cannot subject themselves and their people to this type of rule. So it's leading to civil war. It's going to happen. There's no way that it can be avoided.
That's right. And that's what they want.
Well, there is a way that it could be avoided, but the problem is people have to understand they're being had before they realize how to get by this thing. Because if you react the way that they expect you to react, and they know your profile, if you act that way, then that's exactly what's going to give them the justifications. And so people have to realize that they're being had.
They're going to do it whether or not you like it or not. It's not about if you're going to accept it. It's about whether you're going to fight them when they try implementing it on you. Yeah. And the majority of the people, if you look across the world, are not going to accept it. You look at what's happening right now, they're not accepting it. This is going to be the push. They're going to continue pushing. Here in the United States, that's all you see right now in the headlines, civil war. The mainstream media is pumping it out. The Congress is making sure that you have the fear in you, and you are angry, and you want civil war. This is what they want. They don't care about those of us who are going to run for the hills. They're going to leave us alone for the most part until after. But civil war is coming. It is coming. It's the only way that they can justify a globalized system, is to have a reason to get the people under control, to stop the carnage, to stop the chaos.
Yep.
The only way that they can do it is to put the people under the boot. And that's what I tell people all the time. You can't just walk away from this, because it's coming. It's coming.
Imagine how I felt. I had had a driver's license since I was 16 years old. And normally, to go renew your driver's license, it ain't that big of a deal. You just go with your driver's license and, you know, you take a picture and they do the, you know, the eye test and then you got your driver's license again. But the last time that I went to get a driver's license, they were asking me for birth certificates and social security numbers or DD-214s from militaries. You know, obviously, I didn't carry that kind of stuff around, so I'm frustrated because I got to go all the way back home, get these documents, come up here just to prove that I am who I say I am. I mean, I'm sitting there. I got the driver's license that I've carried all these years in my hand. It's got my face on it, and they know who I am. And yet, I got to go through all this stuff just to prove that I am who I say I am, even though I look just like the guy on the card. And so, if I'm frustrated about that, imagine how many other people are going to be frustrated about that. And it's not over yet, because now I got to go get that little ID with the star on there. You see? That's what people don't realize.
Well, Angel says, let their bits of paper fight. It's the people we need to get to see sense. But here's what I'm saying. You know, I see the sense. I see what's going on. But I know dang well when they are to the point where they're ready to initiate this global system, your government, look at your government right now. I don't care where you are. Look at your government right now. They are pushing this. They are moving towards it. And when it happens, you're in whatever country this is being implemented in. What are you going to do when they come and they say, this is the rule of the day now?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that this isn't something, you know, like I said, you can run for the hills. And I would. In a moment's notice, I'm gone, guys. I'm not going to be in the mix of this chaos. But the people who will not leave, they will be stomped on.
Yep.
They will be under martial law. You don't have a choice. It's not, you're either going to rise up and fight it, or you're going to sit in your home and be taken by it. Well, one or the other.
Just remember
this. This is what
I'm
saying.
Whatever state you're in at that given time, that's your prison cell. That's it.
And I'm not fear-mongering. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm looking at what is happening and where they're going with this. You know, I'm not trying to fear-monger. I'm saying that the only way... The only way that this can happen is to have an intervention by some alien life form that says, okay, I'm going to get rid of all the governments, I'm going to get rid of the global system. How is that going to happen? You know,
don't put it past them to try to false flag that one either.
Well, we got Trump, and people are praising Trump. And look, I will tell you, Trump's doing things. And it looks like he's bringing the world together, you know, the leaders and so, but he's not. He's not. The people are still under the gun. The people are still being put upon. The governments are still going full steam ahead. It's a system that is happening regardless how good the people are, how good the intentions are. It's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to throw this into you. They're ramping it up because of Trump.
Yep.
I think they're ramping in and pushing it to get their agenda done and out because of Trump.
Well, that's because of that.
And you know where I stand about Trump. I see some of the good things he's doing, and I agree with you, sis, that he is working to get rid of the dirty people and the evil going on between the child sex trafficking and various other things, and he implemented that and so on. I see what he's doing. But there's my questions. I have questions about the end, okay, or the focus, or the final solution, or whatever you want to call it. I question, are they all in cahoots together to get the final solution? I don't know yet. I just see things are kind of questionable, because I say, well, all of a sudden, like you and I talked about this, so we have a system that has been in place for centuries, an evil system, let's say. Now, Trump comes on board, and all of a sudden, the evil system, or the people who were in control, and all aspects of our society suddenly become stupid? Suddenly they're so stupid? I mean, I question that.
Well,
when it comes to
Trump, the things that he says about the media being fake, if you listen to that deal that I keep playing about the bug's life with that grasshopper is telling them other grasshoppers, you let one of them stand up, and they now all might stand up, and those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. Well, that could be exactly what the deep state is worried about because of what Trump is saying. He might get doggone population behind him, and that would not fare well for them. You see what I mean?
Well, he is.
Well, the thing of it is that even if the people rise up like they're doing right now, it's not going to prevent what's happening. The only way to prevent what's happening is to walk away, to leave the system to die in its own footprint.
Yep.
We cannot be in this system and expect it's going to change because we're carrying signs and burning buildings.
Right.
That's their reasoning to come after us. The only thing that can ever get us out of this mess is if the people turn their backs on the system that is crushing them.
Yep.
And they know the odds of that happening.
That's because
they've done it civilization after civilization after civilization. This
people,
is their game.
I could look at it from go ahead, Chizzes.
They got the people so divided that's probably not an option to get everybody to realize, hey, you're being played like a banjo. And then everybody comes together and agrees, hey, look, we're not going to comply with this trash anymore. We're tired of it. We've been duped. But that's the whole purpose of keeping us all pitted against each other, talking about racial issues and political and religious and all that kind of stuff. So this plan that they got is so embedded and so dirty deeded, if that's a word, but it's... We're like you said earlier, we're in between a rock and a hard place. We're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't.
Well, I could look at this from a back up and look at this from a spiritual place, or let's say a larger vision, to look at the level of evil that has been in societies from the beginning of time, the manipulations, the evil, the level of evil. I could look at that and I could say, you know, the information that I got is that you cannot eliminate this these sorcerers, these dark ones, these evils that want to manipulate people's minds and control them. They're part of creation. So if we say evil is part of creation, I mean, that's a question, if that's true or factual. So then you say, well, Trump is taking down all these evil pedophiles and sex traffickers and in the political arena and everywhere else in the church and so on and so forth. Can you ever fully, totally eliminate this aspect of creation if you believe that? Okay, so still in all, why are we here? Why are we all here on this earth? What is this? What is really happening from that perspective in this bigger arena? You know, we're kind of like honing in into this tunnel vision focus here about the political agenda, about the, you know, the Brave New World and so on and so forth, and this battle between the dark and the light, this spiritual battle. So I just look at it from that perspective. I'm not dooming and glooming, and I do believe in miracles, okay? But there's something bigger going on here, and I'm just kind of like looking at this. And the one question I'm going to refer to again that I have that brought me to question Q and Trump and all of that, and maybe it was just cereal brain, you know, cereal brain too. Maybe it was just his blip. Maybe it was just him. I don't know who this person is, cereal brain. I have no idea. We don't even know. We don't really even know who Trump is, I'm just saying. So when I read that one a statement on cereal brain 2, when he was quoting Q, that Q said, "We will take you, we will show you a brave new world." When cereal brain wrote that, that was a quote from Q. Boy, I stood up and I looked at that and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Q is saying they're going to show us a brave new world where we go one, we go all. And cereal brain was questioned about that. I wrote and questioned him. He basically banned me from his site. And then he came up with some stupid excuse. Well, that was going to be a brave new world, but we changed that. We took care of that. It's no longer going to be a brave new world. Well, I didn't believe that for 1 minute. But I question these things. What is really going on? You know, what is really happening here with this plan? Both plans. You have both sides here who have a plan.
Well,
I have the question. I'm still standing on the fence. I'm still in the fence in the middle here looking. Clarity. I want more clarity. I want the truth. I can only find the truth within my own source, what my own source is, and that, you know what that is.
Yeah, if past is any indication, we could very well be, you know, like watching planned opposition on both sides of the fence.
Well, we're
exactly
looking at
what it is.
Exactly, and we're looking at a Kali Yuga. I have to keep saying it again. We talked about the Kali Yuga. Everything points to the fact that we are in a fall. And we know through history, civilizations rose and civilizations fell. They rise and they fall. There's the golden time, and then there's the dark time. Then there, you know, I mean, this is what
and
we're looking at.
The same steps were taken.
Same steps.
Time.
Exactly. Identical.
We are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are there. If we go back through history and we look at the falls of civilizations over and over and over and over, one thing is consistent, and that's the way that these civilizations went from being these brilliant, wonderful systems, and how they each incrementally fell into destruction. We are exhibiting the same exact motives, the same exact steps. There is nothing different other than the age that we are in is different from the last age, and that age was different from the last age before that. Nothing is different. It's all the same. Yeah.
Just different clothes. I'm just saying. And so looking at that, you know, and I have to say, when you say the Golden Age. When we speak about the Golden Age, it was a brilliant time. It was a time of awareness, awakeness. It was more connected to the spiritual connectedness, that wisdom and the knowledge of those things. And that includes, I think, the high level of enlightenment and awareness of something far greater, like an omniscience, you could say, or something, intelligence, a creation that is an intelligence. And there was that awareness. There had to be. It was the golden age of everything. And you could say, well, that was Lemurian, the society of Lemuria, and then Atlantis had the other, was going in the other direction with the technology and the, and the basically the, uninterest or not interested or killing or destroying of the sacred. You know, it was the technology, it was greed. So you have these two factions going on. It's the same thing today. You could say there are Lemurians here and there are Atlanteans here. And we're doing the same thing. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well,
that's my perspective.
So what's the suggestion for the people out there? Brace for impact or start doing some research and have some common sense and don't act the way they expect you to act?
The only thing that I see making a difference for the people, or each and every man, woman, and child on this earth, the only thing, and I think a lot, I really do, I think all the time about what I'm seeing happening. The only way that I see out of this to get the upper hand is to walk away from the system. We are the system. We always have been. We built every civilization. We built every government. We built every system, and we enjoin every system. We support it. We feed it. We worship it. And the only way that we ever stand in our own power is to stop. To stop. Not to try and make it change, because it can't change. It is what it is. Every time we build it, it will be how they want it built, not how we want it built. We have never built a system for us. The system is for the control, always has been. We can't change that. As the only thing that we have the power to do, the only thing that we can do is stand in our power and move away from the system. We have to totally revamp the way we look at life, the way we look at each other, and the way we go about forming our civilizations. And it can be done. It really can be done. I know it can be done. We don't have to live this way. We don't have to build these harmful, destructive technologies. We have every ability to make the utopia that we all truly, truly want. We are spiritual beings before we are anything. We are part of a bigger, greater, more real,
powerful
entity, source, than anything ever imagined on this earth that was created. We have the ability to live as nature does, in benefit. We truly do. We always have. We did, until we adopted government and structure of civilization on their terms. We cannot survive in their system. We can't fix their system. We can't change their system. We can, however, move out of it, let it fall to ashes, and create a new way of being. We have the ability.
I agree with you. And my question now is, and like you said, we cannot survive in their system. And I think this was how it was set up deliberately, so that we cannot survive in their system. Their system has nothing to do with our spirit within us and the greater omniscience. Their plan, their system has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, it's adverse to what we know to be true in our own heart spirit. And like you say, we are beings, we are spiritual beings, and we have power that is unimaginable. It was given to us. But when you're in their system, you can't use it, you don't know you have it, you're brainwashed and your mind controlled and spirit controlled and all that. And that is what it was set up to be. That's the rise and fall of societies. It's the system that has been playing out for millennia over and over and over again. So you're right. The way to, basically, I would say the way to win and change your experience is to step out of their system where you cannot win. It's meant to be that way, that you cannot win, that you must follow whatever it is. You're between a rock and a hard place. That's where we find. But as far as your spirit and your own health and well-being in relationship to an omniscience or God or creator, whatever, that's your own. They can't affect that unless you allow them to.
Well, I agree. I just seen something really disturbing when I looked up Missouri about how to get a real ID license. And you have to understand the wording of what's being said here. It says, go to your DMV license office. Missourians must specifically request a real ID or they'll receive a standard driver's license. Break that terminology down and listen to what was just said. Go to your DMV license office. Missourians must specifically request a real ID or they'll receive a standard driver's license. So you have to opt into it. You have to agree to it. You have to consent to it. They're not forcing it on you. You have to say, yeah, I need it. But you have to know that if you don't, by 2020, you can't get on an airplane without it. You can't go into a federal building without it. So if you don't accept it, there's consequences. Now, does anybody understand what I'm saying? That's disturbing. I have to consent for this. That sounds like the mark of the beast to me. I mean, I know that sounds crazy to some folks, but I have to accept the mark of the beast. How do I know that ain't?
Well, yeah, and the thing of it is Missouri is actually implementing and trying to implement laws to kick the federal government out of the state. The governor at one time was trying to pass a bill that would require everyone in the state of Missouri to own a gun.
He
was trying to get it. Well, I don't know. I haven't found anything else on the follow-up of this, so it might have been tabled. I'm not sure. But I know that he was pushing really, really hard for it. But when we look at these things, when we look at like the fight for the Second Amendment, the fight for the First Amendment, these things lead to nowhere. They lead to nowhere. The more guns that the people get, you know, I'm a proponent. I believe that I should have the right to defend myself.
Yep.
And so I'm all for that. But here's the catch. There's always that catch. The catch is that the more people who own guns, the more people are going to be willing to rise up.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go well.
Well, did you all understand why it was I was so concerned about that terminology in that the way that was phrased?
Well, yeah, it's all done by consent. But if when I go up here to my local DMV, and I step in line and I sign my name on that piece of paper when I get my license, I've consented. That's my consent.
Yep.
They can't give me a license unless I sign that line. They won't give me a license. So either way, you have to consent. When you go to the doctor's office, they give you a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper it says that they're going to treat you, but they have the right to give your information out. And you can either sign it or not.
Yeah,
and if you don't sign it, then they don't have to give you anything other than emergency care.
Wow. This
is the way it's always been done. People don't realize that You give consent simply by stepping up onto the platform and saying, hey, I want this, I want that, you know. When you sign a contract, you get a car, right? They're not going to give you that car until you put your name on that piece of paper, because you have to consent to be able to purchase this, to pay the amount of money and to go by their guidelines for this loan that you're getting, right? It's the same thing with everything in your life. You signed that Social Security card and you said, I give the government the right to own me in this respect.
Wow.
Everything we do is consent. You go in and get married. You signed on there and said the state has a right to tell me I can get married. You know?
Huh.
It's control. It's control. Every time. And, you know, we've been consenting adults for a long, 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 long time. We've already consented. We've already stuck our foot wholly into the pot. I mean, we're in the pot, and the pot's getting hotter. The steam is starting to come up off of the water, and we're still sitting here saying, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, I know what's going to happen next. The pot's going to boil. We're dinner. Soup's on. You know? Nothing we do in this system is for our benefit. They give us our trinkets. They give us our pretty boxes with our little bows on them. And we go home and we think, oh, I did good. Oh, look what I got. And all we got was deeper into the control. They own us a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And some people are in so deep that they can't see. They can't see that there's a way out. They don't want a way out because they're so invested in the system, it's all they have. Well, it was built that way. We are creatures of habit for the most part. We want comfort. We want ease. We want to have it as easy as possible. We don't want the stress. So we go along with these things because they make our life easier. It's so much easier to comply than it is not to comply.
We want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
That's that false womb. Everybody wants to go back to the womb where they don't have to think. They don't have to do anything at all. They'll just be taken care of and everything will be given to them, you know. That's where people's minds are. You know, that's the system. And, of course, like we're saying, the system that we're speaking of, that we are all embedded in, is set up to basically keep us slaves, enslaved, body, mind, and spirit. So how to get out of the system? How do you get out of the system? How do you extricate yourself from this system?
You don't have to sign a paper. You simply have to walk away and say, no longer complying, sorry. I'm not going to pay you taxes. I'm not going to support this system. I'm not going to support the school system. I'm not going to support the energy system. I'm not going to support the governmental system. I'm not going to do any of that. But the only thing is that if one person does it, they just take that person, throw them in jail. If 3 million people do it, then they can't do anything about it and the system fails.
That's why we talk about we need each other. This is about unity. We have that power being together, standing up for the same thing.
Yeah. It's like Shazoo said, the grasshopper talking about the one little ant.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's exactly right. That's the way out. That's the way out. Hey, Barry.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Well, most people don't realize that they're in the pot. Patty, that's the problem. They're so entwined in their lives.
They're realizing now.
That the pot is boiling. And, you know, incrementally we have a little bit of freedom taken away here and a little bit of freedom taken away there, but it's always to keep us safe. And we've seen this ramp up massively, in the last 20 years. Since 9/11, we've really seen it ramp up. But it's been going on for hundreds of years. And, yeah, we're in deep, and most people don't realize that the pot is boiling. So how do you get them to realize the pot is boiling? Question. Tough one. Most people will die to protect that entity that is looking after them.
Hi, Barry. I think that there are more people realizing the pot is boiling. I think they just don't know how to extricate themselves from that boiling pot. You know, I mean, and there were maybe some that may not be able to, or you know, I mean, this is the, so when you say how do we get them, you know, I think what we're doing is what we can do. You can't drag people out of the pot. It's like they have to come to the awakening moment themselves, like many of us have, you know, but the system, basically the pot is part of the system,
right.
You know.
Have you guys talked about the California fires today? I haven't been listening in, so, but have you?
Well, we talked a bit about, Patty brought in what, that the governor has now said he's going to take control over PG&E.
Right.
That it's becoming basically a socialized state.
Exactly. Well, that's what they're conditioning the public down. They're going to call the population into the big cities. We can see
That's it. Those people's homes and properties are non-livable now, and they can't rebuild. So you have thousands of people. I don't even know what the count is. That don't have no homes anymore, and they can't go back, and they can't rebuild them. Where are they going to go? They have their cities, their smart cities, all set up out there, or are they going to be homeless? Or what's going to happen?
Well, we can see how they're pushing the public into the cities, how they're calling the herds into the large population areas, and that's all part of the United Nations 2030 agenda, and it's being played out in California.
Smart cities.
These fires are incredible. They've had bad fires down there, but the reports I'm seeing now, these are going to break records all over the place.
They've got like 18 major fires, right?
Yeah, and they're, you know, today, I was looking at it last night, and, you know, the Santa Anita winds are ramping up, and they're going to be ramped up again today, so you've got, I forget what it was looking, the numbers last night, 50 to 70 mile an hour winds possible in some areas.
Yeah.
Fan fires, I mean, this is just turning into a hellstorm, is what it's turning into. Incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, I see the...
This up, Barbara, because they have not done fire control in California. They stopped doing that. Well, why would they stop doing that when it works? You see other states that are fire controls, and it works really, really well.
Well, do you remember that Trump said during the when the first fire really, Paradise Fire?
Yeah,
when people were killed. Yeah, and Trump said he's going to take back funds from California in regards because they didn't do the cleanup to prevent fires. And everybody was screaming at Trump because he was going to take funding away from their programs to whatever it was. I don't know. But I'm just saying. So he says these things because he's absolutely right that they stopped doing that. What?
If the funds aren't being spent where they're supposed to be spent, then he's doing the right thing.
And that's what he said. He said these funds were not being allocated for what they were meant to be.
Right. Well,
But then he allocated funds for emergency relief. They had declared an emergency, a state emergency, and the funds were automatically given. And here's another thing about that, you know, they stopped the people themselves from clearing brush around their homes.
That's right.
They stopped them. They said, you can't do that. If you do, you're going to be fined because you're messing with the ecology.
Well, they're messing with their plan.
Yeah.
Their agenda. It's pretty devastating out there, really. I mean, it's devastating not only for the people, but for the animals, for the land, for the trees, the forests. I mean, and you can look at that map and you can see exactly the plan and how it's being laid out. The controlling of the lands. Yeah, pretty amazing.
It is. Well, my heart goes out to all those people that are losing their property down there. Just, you know, we're talking about people losing everything they've ever had in their lives and the memories and everything else. It's all being taken away from them.
Well, in the long run, you look at what matters. You see, again, I like to back up and I like to look at the bigger picture. We're looking at all this stuff, this horror stuff, the fires and various other plans and agendas and the controlling factor. We look at that and in the ultimate end, you have to look at what is really important. I mean, you know, you just have to go, I go there anyway. I just say, well, what is really important is how I'm living my life. What energy am I emanating at? What frequency am I emanating out? How am I living the life the time that I have here and fulfilling what I was meant to be doing here. Because ultimately, we're all going to be gone someday. So all the stuff that we've gathered, the memories and all the stuff, the photos and everything else and the properties we've owned and the money, it's not going to mean anything, you know? I'm just saying, I'm looking at this. And again, I look at the Kali Yuga and the rise and the downfall, this pattern that they have put in place and that we become reliant upon, the plan, their agenda, the rise and fall. You know, when everything falls, as far as the Kali Yuga speaks to, these civilizations fall, they go into what is called the Dark Age. The Dark Age is where they have no memory of the rise or the times of the Golden Age or the enlightenment they had, the wisdoms that they knew and the unity that the people had. This is all forgotten. It's like starting from square one, you know. I mean, who built this pattern? I have to question that. Who set this pattern to, you know, be propagated century over century over century, millennia? Whose plan is this? And we're all involved in it, and we're all dragged into it, you know? So this, so aside from that, what we're experiencing here on Earth as a human being in this earthbound experience, there's another side to us. There's a spiritual aspect of ourselves. There's a power and a wisdom and a knowledge that we have. There's something far greater here that is being, you know, I guess ignored or forgotten. I think we're in some sort of that dark age where people are slipping into the numbness and the dumbness and the dark, you know, the forgetting. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten. Well, they certainly had a part to play in that, though, didn't they?
Well, this has been going on.
Fear rules the day. Fear rules the day.
Uh-huh.
Chaos is the tool. The system is the mechanism that they are using, and it's the same everywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at. We're all being driven from one pasture into the loading truck to be taken to the butcher. And I know that sounds horrible. That sounds horrible. But if you've ever worked with cattle, you know that there are always those that say, "I'm not going," and they will not go. Well, that's who we have to be. We have, you know, I think about and I know a lot of people don't believe in the Israelites and all this stuff, and that's fine and dandy. The story, let's concentrate on the story itself, where they were in Egypt, and Egypt was oppressive to them. They were the slaves, and they were told, what were they told to do? Get out, leave. Turn your back, pack your bags, get out, leave. Leave Egypt, leave Rome, or whatever.
And they went into the desert for 40 years, right?
And they lived, yes.
Yes.
So, it's not impossible, folks. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the brains, the mind, the ability to create a better way of living like we do today. There's no reason for us to fear this system, because this system is us. We're fearing ourselves. We're fearing ourselves. So we don't have to do that.
Before you jump in, I just want to address fear. And we talk about frequency. So if you are in fear, you're creating this frequency, like attracts like. So we are manifesting more fear and more insanity. The more we get embedded in into this and believe in this system and fear, and so on, fearing each other or being terrified or terrorizing others, we are creating this. We are co-creating this. We are manufacturing this, and that's why that's part of stepping away from that system, is part of that. They want you to be in fear. They want you to create more fear.
Well, like we was saying earlier, I'm going to use the word common denominator, because it seems to be a common denominator about every single thing that they do and show us ahead of time before they even do anything to us, is for some reason or another, they need our consent. And we've been consenting for so long, mostly out of fear, that, like, for example, what I said earlier, that if I don't specifically request to get that real ID, by 2020, if I decide I want to get on an airplane, I'm not going to be allowed through the security if I don't have that real ID. Regardless of the fact that You know, I got a military veteran's ID and a regular driver's license that I've had for many years. If it doesn't have that little star on it and is real ID compliant, I can't go and get on an airplane. And I probably won't even be able to go into the VA in order to be able to have treatment, you know, or anything like that. So I'm already being punished before it ever even started. But I had to be compliant. I had to give my consent by requesting to get this so that I could participate in the system. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, what we're doing is we're in the system and we're in fear and we're saying, help me, help me, help me. Somebody do something. Somebody make it better. Somebody make it go away. But there is no somebody. There's we, the people.
That's the whole deal. But it would take a combined effort of all the pieces of the puzzle, which is all the individuals, to basically do what you said, Patty, get up and walk away from it.
But the only way that we can do that is to drop this narrative of hate.
Yeah.
I have something against you because the color of your skin. I have something against you because of where you were born. I have something against you because of how you decide to worship. I have something against you because you have a bigger house than me. All of this is what's keeping us tethered to this system, because we have been taught over and over, generation after generation after generation, century after century after century, that there are differences in us.
I want to say
that we are different.
I want to say something that's going to sound controversial, but in reality, I'm pretty sure Barry probably agree with me, you know, that there is actually no minority now that has the monopoly on saying that you know, they're a victim of racism or what's that, profiling and stuff like that. Because right now, as a supposed white male, I'm, you know, told that I'm a racist right out of the gate. I'm told that I could be potentially dangerous no matter what side of the fence I'm on, whether it be the red or blue team or anything like that. And so I can actually feel what they were feeling whenever they were, you know, being discriminated against, even though I think we're all discriminated against in some form or fashion throughout our entire life. You know, you're either too skinny or you're too fat or you're too tall, you're too short or whatever. We've been discriminating against each other since day one. But nonetheless, on a larger scale, I don't feel like there's any minority any longer that has a monopoly over saying, you know, that they're discriminated against, because I believe that we're all being discriminated against, and I believe that we're all actually in some way being complicit against discriminating against one another. You're a Democrat, liberal or whatever, and I'm a conservative, so I don't like your point of view or whatever. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah.
That's all a farce, because when you look at the uprisings across the globe, they're all colors, all nationalities.
Yeah.
Marching together, rising up together. The only place you're hearing that there is racism is in the media. The only places that you're seeing it propagated is in the cities and the sponsored riots and the sponsored protests that are being paid for. These people are being paid to rise up. And you're always going to, in any civilization, you're always going to have people who are going to be more inclined to promote hate, to promote chaos, because that's just the way they're built. It's the way their mindset is. They're easy to manipulate. They're very easy to manipulate. But the majority of the people across the globe, they're not that way. The majority of the people don't hate whites. They don't hate blacks. They don't hate religions. They don't hate political leanings. they see people for who they are.
You're right.
But
the media is the one trying to produce the illusion that we all hate each other.
So we won't talk to each other.
Yep.
So we're afraid. We're afraid. Oh my gosh, there's so much racism and I might be a target if I go out and I wear a red hat. I might be a target all of this stuff. The only place you see people going after each other like this is in these cities where, like I said, they're paid to do this. And the media ramps it up and they take the picture and they say, see how bad it is, you know? But where I live, and probably where you live, how many riots have you seen, Shaziz? How many people beating each other up over where you live?
Ain't nobody beating each other up over here.
Ain't happening here either. What about you, Barb? You know, she must have stepped
away.
Yeah, but when you look on the media, they're going to tell you it's everywhere. And it's not. It's not. It's the farce. It's the play. It's the manipulation effect again. We're not as far apart from each other as they want us to believe. All we have to do is start reaching out and start communicating. We don't communicate anymore. We get on the internet and we talk to people. But in the real world where we live, where it has to start, we can't abdicate the system on the internet. We can only do it in our own backyard by getting people in a consensus together to build something better.
Yeah.
You know? Just saying.
There's going to be some interesting days coming ahead here in Canada in the next couple of days, because it was just revealed on Friday, and this will make mainstream news on Monday, that our election, we had 27 million eligible voters in Canada, and 35.8 million votes were cast.
Wow.
And this was just exposed late Friday. It's going to be a bombshell when it comes out, but there was almost 8 million illegal votes that they are going to have to explain. It's pretty interesting what's going to happen here in the next couple of days, guys, because our election in Canada was totally rigged. If you look at the numbers in Canada, the amount of people that absolutely hate Justin Trudeau to the bone, you'll find out that about 72 to 76% of Canadians absolutely detest this man, and he should have been out of power, but we're looking at this now, and of course it explains it. I knew this was going to happen. I knew that they were going to rig this election, that his reign of power is meant to be, and he will destroy Canada. And this information is going to come out Monday on mainstream. I think you'll have a lot of Canadians scratching their heads Monday. Interesting, eh?
There's a lot of good comments in the People for People chat room. I'm just not a good reader as far as trying to focus my brain on there. But it's a brilliant conversation going over there. But this whole thing that we're talking about, we started off talking about a civil war, possible civil war. This isn't something that we just kind of thought about and brought up. This is something the mainstream media is trying to be pumping out to us all the time. And I'm sure they're probably doing it over there in Canada as well, you know, trying to get the people against each other, you know. And
well, in the UK too.
This country's divided. I've never seen this country divided the way it is. But of course, that's all been brought in by Justin Trudeau and the weapon of political correctness and his pandering to groups, and everything he's done has just destroyed this country. I've never seen this country in the way it is right now, across the board. So their tool is working very well. It is that they divide the people and get them fighting amongst themselves, they'll never see the true enemy.
Yep.
They will cry out for help. They will say, please stop the carnage. Please come in with your troops. Please come in with your military to stop this.
Out of the chaos.
Please bring order. Yes.
Well, we see it all over the world right now. I've never seen upheaval in the world like I'm seeing right now. It doesn't matter where you look, in Chile, in Venezuela, in Europe, in Hong Kong, right across the board, right around the world.
Imagine if nine or ten major
riots going on in the country right now, where people are standing up.
Imagine if all those people rioting in the streets across the globe, cities, and, you know, going up against the governments trying to make them change. Imagine if all those people who are in the streets right now just simply turned around, walked away, and started working together to form their own, what
would
happen?
I'm there with you. I'm there with you. Says it's not a good thing that these people are rising up the way they are. That is playing into the agenda.
It is, Barbara, but they're at their pushing point. They don't know what else to do. You know,
well, there's the solution.
Explain to them what they can do.
What Patty just said. Imagine that.
It's been said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're going down the roller coaster, folks. Hang on.
I like that part about these things have to come to pass.
Yep.
It's not over yet. Remember, we've just been saying this is their plan for these things to come to pass.
Yep.
So if you want to follow their agenda, go ahead out there and get in the mix of it all and act like,
That's what I was trying to say earlier, was that we should not respond the way we are expected to respond. That will put a dent in their door, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that's pretty obvious to us here speaking and some out here listening that this is their agenda, is to get everybody out in the street so that they can perpetrate with the war and continue their agenda, the martial law. They want everybody in fear and fighting each other. They're pitting us against each other. This is a long-term plan, and it is working very well. And so people are going to get to that point where they're going to say, okay, help us. They're going to turn to the government. They're going to turn to the cabal, the elite, and say, we need your help, help us. We'll do anything to stop this madness. But they are partaking in the madness, you know, basically for their own choices.
Just like in the Jericho series, it was the people who started the mess, who actually bombed their own country, that turned around and came rushing in as the saviors. And everybody accepted them. Just, oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Well, they accepted them because they were going to protect the people that they were murdering.
Yeah.
We'll protect you, and murdering people on the side, so terrifying the people so that they go to them, okay, will you help us? Yes, we'll protect you, but meanwhile, behind the scenes.
That sounds like the mob going around all the different businesses and saying, you pay us protection and we'll ensure that nothing happens to you, but if you don't pay them, then they do something to you. It's crazy.
I just look at this plan as falling into place very well, and the people are complicit. Okay, they are following as sheeple exactly what the cabal, the elite, and the evil want them to do. That's exactly, it's perfect. The plan is so perfect, and we've done this before. The Kali Yuga, or history, tells us we have been here before, and we're going to continue doing, are we still going to continue doing the same thing? We're still going to be in the same play, folks?
Well, that's that joke of Pete and repeats in a boat and Pete falls out, who'd be left? We got to get past all that. We got to start realizing our place in this world as individuals. And we need to be that piece of the puzzle and step away from that mess that's going on. Because I keep saying this all the time. These people out there protesting, they don't realize every time they do that, they're not getting what they want. They're giving what the other side wants.
That's right.
They're making tons of money off of these people. Don't matter what you do, you get thrown in jail. For, you know, everybody who hasn't never heard this before come out of my mouth, look up for-profit prisons. America is full of them.
But, you know, they have... The thing is this information... has been here for anyone.
Yeah.
We've found the information. We've received the knowledge. We've listened to the wisdom from source. We've received this information, you know, and we're sharing this information, you know. And there are more and more people that are awakening to this information and realizing, you know, the agenda and how it's controlled our lives. But I have to keep going back to that statement that this is meant to unfold. It is meant to play out, and it is not the end. So what does that mean, it is not the end? I mean, we could go there, you know. What do you think that means, Barry? When the book says this is meant to play out, but it is not the end.
You want me to read the exact thing again?
The Bible lays down a timeline of events that are...
Read it again.
It said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is not still not there.
Okay, so such things, do not be alarmed, and such things are meant to happen, but this is not the end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that tells me a lot. That's exactly where we are today. You hear rumors of war. We are in war. We see this going on. They pitted us against each other on purpose, the agenda. Do not be in fear. Number one, we've said this over and over again. Do not be in fear.
Yep.
This is meant to happen. Why is this meant to happen, people? And what does it mean, this is not the end? I'm just curious. What do you think, Barry?
I think it's playing out just the way the book is written, as far as I'm concerned. I believe we're going to see the rise of a one-world government, and that's being set up very, very carefully right now, and it's going to happen. I believe that. I'm not fear of that, because that's what this book tells me that I follow. And I can see that with the way the RFID chip is being ramped up. We know that they could really, really bring the whole world under control simply by collapsing the monetary system. And I believe that will be the tool that they will use to bring society completely under control and implement a new one-world government with a new currency.
Well, the
RFID chip will play into that. And I see how society now is being conditioned. We see that it's being really, really ramped up around the world.
We see all that. I agree with you. But why do you think the book says, or God or said, this is meant to be? Do not be in fear. And this is not the end.
He's laying down a timeline for you to understand what is going to come. And, yeah, don't be in fear of it, because it's going to play out in my world.
It's meant to happen, right?
It's going to play out exactly the way it's spoken.
Meaning that's God's plan.
Yeah, that's why I think we all need to recognize that, you know, we need some sort of, as far as I'm concerned, spiritual grounding, guidance, or whatever, because the average Joe isn't going to cope with this at all. You know, when all heck breaks loose, you're not gonna. I had said to my wife one time, I said, if we're this upset right now with the way things are right now, imagine what we would be like if we really seriously were living through the last days. The whole one world and thing and everything. You know, it's like the mark of the beast. Some people would actually accept that just so that they could get food for their family so that their family would not starve. But by doing that, they basically just sold their family down the road too, because their family's not going to be let alone just because they sacrificed themselves. Does that make any sense, what I'm trying to point out?
You might be put into a situation where you don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Either do this or you're not going to be able to function in society. And that's
well, we're already being put in that position with that Real ID Act. If you don't get it, you can't get on an airplane by 2020. They're saying that. But you don't have to accept it. You can just stay where you are.
There's always a choice. You may not like the choices that you have, but it depends. How much conviction do you have within yourself of your truth and your power?
Yep.
If you don't have that conviction, then you will choose their way. If you do have that conviction, then you will choose your way. And it's not going to be easy. It shouldn't be easy. But if you look at the world that you live in today, how easy is it? And what is the future of this world that they have created for you? It's on steroids. What's coming is going to be nothing like what you are experiencing today.
Yep.
It will be so much worse. So you have a choice. Always, always there is a choice. You make the choice. Where is your conviction? Where is your truth? And where is your power?
I want to continue to address this statement that was read out. To me, when you say, it's written, this is not the end, okay, and this is meant to be, tells me that this is Creator's plan. do not be in fear. Those words are very powerful. Do not be in fear. Yep. What does that mean? It means have faith.
Yep.
To me. When you are told by a creator or God or anyone who's a holy person says, do not be in fear, that means have faith. If you don't have faith, you're lost. Yep. You're lost, period. That's it. So all these things are happening because it's part of the plan. On both sides, there's a plan. You have the cabal's plan. You have the creator plan, if you want to say, or the divine plan. But we are all mixed up in here, participating in some way or not. And these words, to me, are very powerful because we've talked about it. Do not have fear. Your trust and faith, the foundation of your spiritual foundation, is the most powerful thing that you own. It is rightfully yours if you want it. It is your choice. So it's trust and faith in this greater plan, because there is more in that statement. It says, this is not the end. Well, what does that mean? You could take it in many different directions. What does that mean? This is not the end. From that book, it says, this is not the end. Does that mean, well, there's more for us? Like when I was in the light and Spirit said to me, no matter what, everything will be all right. What does that say to you? No matter what happens, no matter the horrors, no matter whatever it is, everything will be all right, because you're not going to be in this human body, okay, forever and ever, you know? So what does that mean to you? That's just my question. That's where I go, because these words have a deeper meaning. It's not so, you know, I mean, it's to me, and I totally agree with Patty. You have a choice. We have free will. We always have a choice.
Yep.
Given to us. To me, I'm kind of sitting back, and the more I look at what this book tells me about this particular time in history, how everything seems to be correlating exactly like it's spoken, it just has reaffirmed my faith in the last couple of years. I have to live by that right now, because the world is going into a total state of chaos, and the Bible talks about this. It talks about men being lovers of themselves, being blasphemous, forsakers of God, so evil that I cannot describe the evil that I see unfolding in the planet right now, in our societies, in our schools, in the entertainment industry. I see it rising at absolute incredible levels of men completely forgetting what it is meant to be, a person, to be a person that actually loves your fellow human being, that wants to be a good person, that wants to be a contributor, however you want to call that, a contributor to a future of this planet. And I see that being totally cast aside right now, that people have become so entwined in themselves. I combine that with the weapon of political correctness, and I see how that's manipulating our thoughts in society. It's really kind of getting to a point right now where I believe there's going to be a breaking point. The book says don't be afraid, because it's not the end. Well, he tells us about how the end is going to unfold and what we can expect to see. And right now, everything I see unfolding in front of me is exactly where that's going. That we honestly are going to see an Antichrist, because the Bible talks about it multiple times. It talks about the Antichrist. To think that one person could not control the world in this particular environment we live in today, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand. I believe the United Nations is going to roll out mandates on the human race here in the next couple years that are just going to shock people. It's all playing, to me, it's all playing out exactly the way I believe it's going to play out. So that is what I base my faith on. I look at who wrote this and how they knew it was coming. If you wrote the beginning and you wrote the middle and you wrote the end, then you really have your finger on the pulse. And that's what I see going on right now, man. I can't describe it any other way in my life.
Well, it's amazing you said all that, because that's exactly the phrase that I was looking up there about in the last days, about a great deception. You know, and for whatever people think about the book, you're on your own spiritual journey. I can't tell you one way or another, but all I can say is somebody was smart enough to write down some things that just seem to be correlating with everything we see in society. Paul Harvey in 1965 described today's day and age shifts like as if he lived it. So I think there are prophets out there.
He was a prophet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? This is all about interpretation. You can read something in the Bible or in any book written by so-called authorities or wise people, so-called whatever, and you will interpret it.
Yeah.
And other people interpret it their way. You will interpret it your way. If you go to source, I feel you will receive the correct interpretation, and that is source. It is not an intellectual process. It is not a thinking process. It is not the earthbound mind-ego process. It is source, guidance from true source and information.
That's why I have this, and I'm sure Barry could relate to this, I have this calming about me, even though my concern isn't necessarily for my own salvation or safety or anything like that. I'm more like I look out into the world, I hear all these things, I see all these things, and I'm worried about what's going to happen to people. Because I love people. I was born that way. For some reason, I just love people. Right? And I see the best in people. Sometimes I'm a poor judge of character. I get duped a lot. But nonetheless, it still don't change my nature. But the fact that I have that faith that, you know, all this, we're going to work through all this. That good is going to win out over evil. You know, like Barry said, the story's been written. It's going to play out the way it says. But I still have this worry and this concern for my fellow brothers and sisters out here, because I know there's a lot of people went, you know, down wrong roads. And I feel for them. You know, my heart actually feels pain for them, because I don't want people to suffer. You know, and so if it's just nothing more than me expressing words out there in hopes that somebody will see the light and find their own, you know, path on their own personal spiritual journey and it benefits them, then I guess that's the best I can do, because that's all I've got to work with, you know.
Well, the thing of it is the Bible tells us, yes, in Revelations, what's coming about. But if we go back through history and we look at the rise and fall of civilization, we read the same stories.
Yeah, it's been a dark and light thing fight from day one.
This is what I'm saying, is that it does not matter to fight over what you or anyone else believes. Whether you believe the Bible, whether you don't, that's not important. The message is getting lost.
Yeah, that's
the message is getting lost in the argument, because there is no argument. The history backs up the revelation. Whether you believe in the Bible or not, if you don't believe in the Bible, go look at history. It tells the same story. There is a choice that needs to be made right now. There is a choice that each of us are going to be forced to make.
Yep.
Either capitulate or walk away. That's the only two choices that you're going to have in this. So the things that separate us, the walls that we can put between us to argue over what's real and what's not, they're not real.
Somebody.
They're fake. They're an illusion. What we have to fall back on is that what we do know. We do know that there is a source that we all come from.
Yep.
We do know that there is a law that was given by this source that works for every living thing to the benefit of every living thing.
Somebody.
That source is our source and our power, each and every individual. So the words to me don't matter. That is what matters.
Somebody,
you know?
Somebody in a previous show mentioned the hidden hand, where they actually got to televise or tell you what they're going to do to you before they actually do to you. So even if it was elitist writing, you know, a story and putting it in a book and calling it the Bible or whatever, and they're sitting there telling you this stuff is going to happen, if you're not wise enough to at least look at these words and match them up with society, then you're going to actually get to see all this stuff unfold.
Here's the thing. What I feel about written things that are written by man. Okay, men and women, let's say humanities, can be corrupted. Okay, because we have ego. No one is pure or holy on that level. Okay, so when someone writes a book, and many people interpret that book, okay, there's ego involved, or there's various interpretations, or there are perceptions of what it means, so that's written. But what I feel here, again, is we're talking about energy and frequency. We're talking about the power that we have as co-creators and also manifestors. And what we believe in, we manifest. So if you're believing in certain things that are written, you are adding to the manifestation of what is written. So the question I have, and we've talked about this before, it's just a question for people to think about, is if there's a famous book written that tells us certain things are going to happen and everyone gloms onto that book and believes in that, is their energy of belief, their frequency of belief manifesting this to occur? Because this is what we have to look at. We have to look at how are we participating. Now, the book is supposedly written by man, but interpreted from God's words, okay? That is what is said. God said this, God said that, and so on. I have a problem with that. Frankly, I do. It's like these evangelists who stand up there and said, God spoke to me the other day and told me this and told me that, told me to tell you to send me money. That way you'll get
and
healed.
And if you don't, he's going to take me, so send me $1 million.
And that happened. That's true.
It that did happen.
It did happen. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, for us people, to me, we have a power of manifestation and co-creation that the Creator, God, or Great Spirit, or an Omniscient One, or an Intelligence, whatever you want to go there, Yahweh, Wankantanka, Tagashila, gave us the ability to create and manifest something so awesome and amazing and add to this beauty all around us.
Well,
Creator gave us the ability to heal ourselves.
Jesus did say that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and you could tell that mountain to move and it would surely move. But that's
one of my favorite things.
To me,
out
that,
of that
rings
Bible.
True. Mine too. To me, I listen to my truth meter. And when you say that, or when I read that, that rings true to me. I am not accepting that just because someone said Jesus said it. I am identifying
right.
My own instinct, my own internal wisdom, my truth meter that says that frequency rings true to me. The frequency of those words that were written that Jesus said, that frequency rings true to me, and I identify that with the gift Creator gave to me. You have the same gift.
Well, I believe we're all gifted with that, but I also believe that for some reason we have to realize that we got to do. It's like this, you know. I keep going back to that doggone picture that's on Knights of the Round Table page, where it's all these people standing around and there's puzzle pieces laying in the center, and there's one person standing outside, and it says you are the missing piece of this puzzle. Well, I honestly believe that all our gifts, all our talents were scattered throughout the entire world, and we have to realize something in order to be able to bring it all together. You know, I honestly believe, and I know it's not matching with what the book says about the last days, but it's still that option of what the words that Jesus spoke about, if you had the faith of a mountain. I got that faith. And I honestly believe that if we ever so choose to do so, we have free will. If we ever so choose to do so, we could take our words and our actions and we could literally bring about a heaven on earth. I believe we were actually given that option. Now,
let me ask you all a question. Have you individually here, right here now, ever experienced a miracle in your life due to your belief and your faith in something far greater? I don't care what
you're multiple times. Multiple
exactly,
times.
Right?
Multiple times.
Exactly. And so
on a daily basis.
On a daily
basis. On a daily basis.
That's right.
I wake up every morning in gratitude. I give thanks. I go to sleep every night in gratitude and I give thanks. And
amen.
When I say I am in need, I am answered. It has always been that way. When I wake up, not so much now because I'm older, but before when I was truly the walking turtle, I would wake up and I would know that it was time for me to move. And I knew that because of my connection to Source, because Source is an open doorway. And that communication is constant. And I would always know. And I would prepare myself. And the opportunity would present itself. I did not work toward it. I went about my normal function, my normal day. And it happened. This has been my whole life. And it is because I never question. I say that I am in need. And the source will provide. That is my truth within me, and I hold on to that power. I know there is no one that could shake my faith in that I have this power of source, that this source is my connection to all things, and it guides my life on a daily basis. I'm not a religious person. You won't see me going into a church. I've been kicked out of more churches in my life for asking questions. You know, I don't go to church. I don't believe in a pulpit. I don't believe in a sermon. But I do believe that there is a source that I come from that rules my life as far as the choices that are made in my life and where I go from there.
Well,
and I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle.
I agree. And for me, I believe that no man, no human, should stand between me and my Creator. They have no right to tell me how to pray or how to get to my Creator. I was given that when I came here. My connectedness is already present with my Creator. With great spirit.
In the beginning was the source.
That's
and
right.
It was all that was, and it's still
and
all
it still
that
is. So we're talking about this wisdom, this ancient knowledge that was taken from the majority of people, that you already are connected to that source. You have that gift. It is yours. Free will to choose it, and it comes down to faith in that. I truly know that my faith is my foundation in that source, and that I am one with that.
Well, I think without that, I probably would have went really crazy a long, long time ago.
Now, I'm not talking about religion either. I want to make sure
well,
that
I am
like
crazy,
that.
But it...
Well,
it
we're all
matter.
Crazy, but it's good to be crazy. It's good to be crazy. Join the crazy party here.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I want to identify, too, that I am not that religious person. I don't go to a church. My church is Creator's creation right outside my door.
Well, Jesus told his people, he said, wherever two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, church is underneath the apple tree. So,
church is a man-made structure of manipulation and control, in my estimation. That's my humble opinion, folks.
Well, I can't disagree.
All you have to do is open your eyes, and the source is apparent everywhere. The Creator... And
starting
the energy of creation.
Starting
yes.
with you.
All I know is we're running low on time here, and we started off this show talking about, a second Civil War, but it wasn't our words that actually, you know, brought this subject up. It was the mainstream media and government entities and different things said, different things taken out of context, and so on down the line. The question was, who is pushing America to civil war? and that answer right there, I'd actually like to say that the average Joe has a big part to play in that, because you're pushing each other to civil war because you're buying the lie. You're taking what the system has propagandized to you, and you're taking it out on each other. You're willing to go out there in the streets and burn down your own communities just because you think that you're going to be able to get your way, when in reality, you're giving the dark side their way. They've already got the laws in place. I mean, take a look at your police departments. They look like the Gestapo. And I'm not saying that America is Nazi Germany or anything like that. I'm just saying that they're dressed like the military. They're dressed like the SWAT team. And if you look at the military is dressed like the military. So it's, on one hand you got the military, on the other hand you got the militarized police, and it all seems to be falling into place. But all these laws put into place for your safety, for your security, we're going to watch you with these cameras. We're also going to give you this specific ID card so that no one who is not part of the crew or the club, so to speak, can have certain benefits. Well, this ought to be a red flag to you, the average Joe. And so when you're out there in the streets and you're doing your protesting, and sometimes in a hypocritical sense, when I'm talking mad science, you're standing with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, "Save the trees," something wrong with that picture. But nonetheless, while you're out there doing what it is you're doing, while you're harming each other. Right now, the police are standing idly by because it hasn't got rowdy enough yet. But when it does get rowdy enough, then they have the justification because they've already passed the laws that you pretty much said okay with. Well, while you're out there doing that, remember there are for-profit prisons all over the United States and more than likely all over the world right now. There are for-profit prisons. There are for-profit militaries. There are for-profit... just about every entity you can think about that you don't want against you, because if they're in it to make money, they don't have no problem coming rounding you up. Maybe your brother who is actually in the military or even a militia isn't going to come around and turn against his own citizen, but the mercenaries of the world have no problem doing that. The militaries who believe that they're under this really nice idea such as the United Nations, they have no problem doing that, because to you, you're just another person. You're just another cattle. And if you ain't realized all this by now, then you're in really deep, because you already out there protesting in the streets. You're burning down your own communities. You're harming each other. You're giving away your rights by consent every single day. So who is pushing America to civil war? Well, behind the scenes, it's the moneymakers. Behind the scenes, it's the elitist of the world. But out there in the general public, guess what, brothers and sisters? It's you. It's him, it's her. You're out there, you're treating each other like trash. You're doing things that you probably wouldn't otherwise done, because somebody has duped you in to believing a lie that was propagandized to you by the same system that you proposed to stand up against. Okay, you don't like money. You don't like the money takers. You don't like the doggone... What is that terminology that they're always using that has to do with money, the way that our system's made up? Anybody? Nobody? All right, well, that thing that has to do with money, the way that our system is made up, is basically, you know, the type of system that we live in, where we buy, sell, and trade, and we're consumers and all that kind of stuff. They're the ones making the money. They're the ones behind the scenes pushing the buttons. They're the ones behind the scenes telling you on the media what to believe and what not to believe, who to hate and who not to hate. And right now, you're buying it. You're eating it up. You go to the Walmart and you buy things that are made in countries where they don't practice human rights. You basically comply to the system. You can be standing there while a police officer is abusing somebody's civil rights or violating their constitutional rights, and for fear you won't stand up and say, "Hold on a second, that's not right." Well, history is going to show itself over and over again, folks. So the only option that you got is either find yourself some spiritual grounding, find yourself some sort of means to stay sane, if that's possible anymore. Get out there and do some research and start talking to each other. Do some real research. Do some real looking into the truth. You might find out the truth that you subscribe to isn't the one that you would have believed otherwise if you hadn't been lied to, if you've been manipulated. And so that's the best we can do with what we got to work with here. There's some good-hearted souls sitting here on this little panel here, and people over there in the chat room. You know, the people that listen in on this show and show up on a regular basis, they're what makes the Knights of the Round Table. They're what makes it happen. And so with that said, let's hear from some of the other Knights of the Round Table. Who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
I'll take it first. And I guess what I want to end with is choice. It's always, always your choice. You can live in fear, or you can live in faith. You can live in love. You can live in hate. You can live in chaos, or you can live in bliss. It is a choice, but with each choice there comes a commitment, and it takes that commitment to make life what you choose it to be. Nobody wants to suffer. And we were not created to suffer. We were not created to hate each other. We were not created to kill each other. We were not created to control each other. It was not always like that. As far as this money thing goes, and this must have something to trade, no, you don't. To me, that's the biggest fallacy that has wrecked our minds from the very beginning. The fact that you think that you have to be paid to do the right thing, that you have to have some type of compensation to make the world a better place, to provide benefit, to me is the most ludicrous thing, because we don't. Nothing is taken away from us if we create and we share our creation. The Creator did this. He shared His creation with us. We are a part of it. Learn from what has been given by Source. There is no value outside of ourselves. None whatsoever can benefit us. Only that which is within us that we freely choose to give will benefit. If you have to expect for someone to give you something in order to provide a benefit, then we are in the same system. We will never step out of it as long as we believe that way. Because there will always be a reason for someone to have and someone not to have a benefit in that type of system. There is no compensation that can provide benefit for each and every person other than your ability to create a better world. And we have the intelligence. We have the knowledge. We have the ability. Nothing's stopping us from creating a better world. And we can do this. We created this disastrous world. Each and every one of us put our blood, sweat, and tears into this construct that we are living right now. And what did we get out of it? What is your benefit for this false sense of compensation? Nothing. So if you want to truly move past this, if we truly want to get on the right side, then we have to throw away all of those constructs, every single one of them that has been created in our civilizations that have risen and fallen, including this one, are meant for control. And as long as we seek that, as long as we say that there is a reason I have and you don't, then we have lost. We are still in the same construct. There is no reason. We have a choice. We have a choice to move beyond this. And we can do this. It's being done in small areas right now. We don't need to control each other. We need to build a better world where everyone benefits, where everyone has the ability to live in bliss. And the only way you do that is by offering what you have to contribute free of charge and accepting the gifts that others are creating and contributing free of charge. I'm just saying. I'm done.
Agreed. Thanks. That word I was looking for was capitalism. I couldn't remember it for the life of me. So, anyway, who's next?
Another ism. Yep. Yeah, it's me, Barbara Three Crow. I'm so really happy to see all you people here at People for People today, you know, hanging out with us and giving your insights and so on and just being with us today, you know. I was just thinking, you know, I wrote down the way to bliss and inner peace is to give in gratitude, not expect to be given things. You know, I feel that I have received such abundance in life, and I'm not a wealthy person. I've dealt with a lot of troubling times in my life. I'm not complaining. I feel like I've been given such an abundance, and I'm so grateful for that. Just the fact that I could live here on this earth, and I can walk to the water here, or I can go out to a tree or a forest, or, you know, these things to me are gifts, such abundance. And, you know, just to say the medicines that were given to us, everything on this earth Creator gave us to help us and for our health and well-being and joy. And yes, we were not meant to be hateful, volatile, screaming people, hating and prejudice. These are all trainings and brainwashings and indoctrinations to upset this balance and harmony of the sacred creation. And yes, the way creation is like there's a positive and negative and yin-yang, dark light. And we're somewhere here in the mix. We have been given free will. We can choose to stand on that other pathway over there and do bad things and negative things and do harm. We can do that, or we can choose in the other direction. I think we're at a timeline now where we are given another opportunity to know who we are, to come to recognize and identify ourselves as sacred creation, and to choose, you know, to benefit others, to good for the good of the whole. And I mean the whole. That means everybody. Again, I'm going to say the word Metakuye Oyasin, which means we are all related. And you cannot say that or abide by that code and then point out a person that you don't like and say, I hate that person, or they don't deserve to live or whatever. Then you're not living according to that code of Metakuye Oyasin. You may not use that term, but if you say, well, I'm a spiritual person and I believe in God and I live by the book, and then you turn around and you throw negative anger or rage or whatever at another human being, then you're not living by the code of this, of what Creator asked us to be and created us to become. So I feel grateful, very grateful for the many miracles in my life. And like I said, there have been hard times. I'm still grateful. I'm grateful to be alive here. I'm grateful for the beauty all around me and all you people out here who are with us. And you guys, you know, Barry and Chaziz and my sister here, you can't get any more beauty than that. When we come here on a Sunday and we all sit down and we throw all this stuff around and we talk about the hard stuff and we come up with the beautiful things and solutions and truths of things. And to me, this is what we're here for, to me, is to be the messengers without expecting any response or anybody following me. I'm not asking anyone to follow me. I'm here working. I said, I guess I ask Creator every day to help me to be of service to you, Great Spirit. And I have to pay attention to that. When I say those words, I have to be very aware of what then the Creator will ask of me to do, what the expectation is. So I just say it's a beautiful time that we're here on this earth. I think it's awesome. I think we're very well aware of what is going on. To me, it's an awesome time to be here. I'm not in fear. As I said, the foundation that I have of trust and faith and my spiritual connectedness to that source is very powerful. That's what saved my life. And believe me, many times that has saved my life. So I just want to thank you all for being with us today. Doksha, Pilmaya.
Yeah, I couldn't say it any better. So what about you, Barry?
Well, you know, I've come to the conclusion in my life that thousands will understand and hear what we're saying, but there'll be millions that won't. And the millions that won't, all we can do is keep talking, try and express our feelings and how we see things to people. But I believe that a large percentage of the population will remain in the matrix until the troops come knocking at their door. And that's what I honestly believe. So at this point in my life, if I didn't have a spiritual foundation, I think I would lose it, because I see the world falling into chaos. It's a great time to be alive, but it's also a very, very scary time to be alive. My heart goes out to the millions of people that are going to fall astray, because, like I said, millions will never hear the truth. They refuse to hear it.
Yeah.
We can't do anything about that. All we can do at this point is live and stand in our truth. That's the most important thing we can do. I don't want my children to be able to say in the future that I knew about this stuff and that I didn't stand against it and didn't try to make a change. I want to be able to say in my last moments on this planet that I did everything that I could to influence people and love people with my heart to them. It has an amazing effect on folks. It really does. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, once again, another wonderful time spent with some wonderful people. And that's the whole thing about, I'm not afraid of what's coming down the line for myself per se. I just, my heart bleeds for those out there that, like Barry said, are going to get led astray. And we see it. We see it all the time. We see people doing things to each other when we know that there's a better way. And that's why we do what we do, in hopes that those words coming out of our mouths will ripple across the land and people will start to hear. And I honestly believe people are hearing. I see movements in the right direction. Whether it's going to be swift enough or big enough, that's nothing that's in our control. We can only do what we can do. And with that said, I'm humbled and I'm honored and I'm thankful to be able to even do this show. And I'm really seriously humbled and honored that any of you actually take the time to spend with me here on the Knights of the Round Table. This is, to me, an amazing thing. It is a miracle every time this show happens. I mean, I always say we're running on duct tape and bailing wire here, but we're still running. That's a miracle. So, you know, everybody, I just want to tell you, you know, got a lot of love in my heart for all of you, and I am really thankful. And if you like this show, please share it with somebody you think that needs to hear the message. I don't ever want to see us go down that road of civil war here in the United States. I don't want to see it in any other land. The only ones who have the option to steer this boat away from it, as far as I'm concerned, is we the people. And if we the people can't realize our true potential, then we're going to go down a rough road. It's where I believe we're going to go. The book said so to me, and you know, it didn't take a book to see the writing on the wall. But it takes some common sense to try to understand whenever you've heard the truth and you tested it in your heart that you need to do something, or at least say something. Speak up when you can. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
Yeah.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
To seize the turbo and the knights of the round table.